Hello to Anam 5. Are you receiving my signal? I call you from the other side.
Receiving you 5x5.
I've only got a 4x4. Or 2x4. That's generally useful.
How useful is a 2x4 in the afterlife?
Wow, these are really hard questions you ask. Doggone it.
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.
Hello and welcome, or welcome back, to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. I'm Anam 5, and thank you very much for downloading and listening to Skype Chat 6. This new chat is a supercharged ramble across the conversational landscape. Our traveling companion, the Encaffeinated One, host of The Weird Show podcast and radio program. Listen in and switch on the mind's eye so you can watch as the bucket of super bounce balls goes rebounding, colliding, zigzagging, and generally celebrating a variable speed cerebral chaos. Predictable? Not. I do hope you'll enjoy it, and we'll get started right after this.
With so many World of Warcraft podcasts, there is one that speaks for the Horde. The Alliance sucks.
Humans are extremely dumb and gullible.
When they nerf a class, I always expected to see, but only for the Horde.
Tips? Strategies? Not on this podcast. The Alliance suck at PvP. And all they're staring at when they're flanked is a big L for loser. Featuring View from the Barn with Big V.
I have never seen so much insipid crap.
Not so much that they can't spell, but they're morons!
Ooh, let's make a Night Elf rogue. Nobody's thought of that.
You see a gnome, two things come to mind. You either want to step on them, or you want to toss them.
With special segments from Quartz Corner.
Your pranks with your friends against the Tauren were probably the most disturbing indeed. You have friends?
We talk about the important matters. King Tyrannus so deserved to die because he was a moron. Blizzard is so biased to the Horde.
Kill Alliance!
Kill Alliance!
You want to rat out the Alliance who ganked you? We speak for you. Where?
For the Horde.
For the Horde.
Available for download at www.forthehorderadio.com.
We're Horde, and we rule. Damn it.
Wasted tape.
Blue Sky's got you down. We can take care of it.
Are you breathing freely? We can help.
Is your home thick with the putrescent clarity of pollution-free air? Then call us.
Right now, your home in the country can feel like the big city. Introducing Ken Smog.
Just listen to these satisfied customers.
Just let me die.
It's like I never left home.
What was the question again? Is this on TV? Hi, Mom.
Ken Smog, a source of 9 essential minerals, heavy metals, and assorted radioactive substances.
Canned Smog comes in 3 convenient sizes, snack pack, family size, and the economical Smoke the Block Party Keg.
Canned Smog, available in a number of flavors, including New York and Los Angeles, and exclusively for our Canadian customers, Toronto Light.
Canned Smog, fun for the whole family. Children with asthma? No problem. They'll be dead by morning.
Blue cheese, just because I like it.
Canned Smog, coming soon to an ecosystem near you. Reach out and grab a piece of the future today.
Canned Smog is a division of Big Evil Corporation, making sure you country dwellers have as bad a future as the rest of us. Canned Smog is not responsible for black lung, faulty earlobes, or premature cases of death, although we probably did cause them.
All right. In the spirit of pretending that I've got a live radio microphone in front of me, which I've never actually had to do. I've never actually had to fill airtime nonstop, right off the top of my head, without having long pauses and just like that, just like what you just heard. That's a challenge. That requires talent. That requires a kind of training. Even if it's just from doing it over a long period of time, that I don't have. But the guest for International Detective Dragons from Outer Space in this Skype chat, Skype Chat 6, is the Encaffeinated One, and he has been doing just that sort of radio talk for the past 10 years. So very excited, very glad, very pleased to have that to offer, and do hope you enjoy it. And here we are getting started with a few top-of-the-show items to mention. First of all, a welcome of Zencore to the forums. Thank you very much, Zencore, for signing up and joining the IDD FOS forums. Next, a thank you to Vandemore, who has reacquainted me with the fact that Dig.com exists. I mean, we've all known it all along, Dig Nation, Dig.com. The whole idea of popularity of an item of interest, whether it's a picture, a video, an article, making it to Dig.com simply because of the fact that you're able to vote on it. Surprisingly enough, when Vandemore added me as... this is one of those social networking things where you get notified via email that someone within that social networking tool has added such and such a widget or made mention of, linked to you in some way or another. In this case, it's the Dig.com membership situation. When I went to check it out, I signed in and it actually worked. And the problem I think I was having, and the problem I dropped interest in Dig very early on, was the fact that every time I tried to dig something, it would tell me that I wasn't logged in, and then when I tried to log in, it wouldn't let me log in, and then when I went to go and register, it told me, oh, sorry, that name and password or whatever is taken already, and I just got fed up with it and I left it. And then Vandemore reacquainted me with the fact that it exists, and so I went back and then I signed in, and lo and behold, it worked, and I could dig things. Today, I went and tried to dig a story again. Now I'm back in the same boat. Dig doesn't seem to think I exist anymore. It's very frustrating. Boy, that's not a very nice way to say thank you. Thank you, Vandemore. I'm sorry. I'm going to try and work that out. I'm trying to not... I will not drop it in frustration. I will simply work on it until I've got it fixed. So, yes, folks, go on over to Dig and sign up and check out what's there and add things that you think are of interest once you become a member, because I think you can do that. What else have we? We have something that you can check out through the Goodikadingadongadungs. James Stubbs has found another one of these social networking tools. It's not so much, I wouldn't really call it a social networking tool. It's a repository of reading lists. A way of letting folks know what you've got on your shelf that you've recently read, stuff that you're about to read, stuff that you're interested in reading. Just generally, hey, this is what I've been reading lately. And he put it pretty succinctly in the forums. Tired of going from all over the different forums and answering what it is he's been reading lately or letting people know, and putting it in this one central location. And the link to, it's called Shelfari. I believe that's what it's called. Let me check real quick here. Yes, www.shelfari.com, like in Safari, except it's Shelfari. But anyway, the link will be live. It'll be on the IDD FOS homepage. And we thank James very much for finding that, because it's a very cool site. There's still more than enough time to respond to the topic for episode 46. What was the topic for episode 46? Shakespeare and anything to do with him. Is that broad enough? I'm more interested specifically, of course, in things that you find fun, interesting, annoying, whatever, about Shakespeare, how you feel about certain shows, favorite quotes, your experiences in school, if you enjoyed dealing with that study or just hated it like crazy. More responses to that. I have a response, and I'm not terribly surprised, because we're not talking about the top 10 most popular things to talk about in the world.
And also, I pretty much put out the request already for the topic of Shakespeare with episode 45, but I did want to continue it, and I will. And there's time and room to send in your comments for episode 46. What I should note, though, is Dickie is a stealth geek. I don't think he'd prefer to be called the stealth geek anymore, but it just doesn't sound right to me. Dickie, a stealth geek. I could just say, well, here's an email from Dickie, but I will always identify Dickie in my mind as the stealth geek. Perhaps I could refer to Wes as Wes the ninja geek. Maybe it could be resolved that way. Dickie can remain the stealth geek and Wes can be the ninja geek. What am I talking about? Dickie and Wes are the co-hosts of the Stealth Geek podcast. So, and that this will all become clear in the next episode when I read the letter. So let me move on. How about I do that? Yes, Anna, move on. There's quite a bit to go over and plenty of cool chat with the Encabinated One to get to. So what have we here? We have an email from the reindeer. Haven't heard from the reindeer. Not since she joined the Frapper Map. So here it is. And the reindeer writes,
"Hey, Adam, have you ever considered doing one of those call-in numbers like a lot of podcasts do, where I guess folks can call in and then you download the calls over the internet? I don't know anything about what's involved, but I wanted to let you know that if you ever hooked one up, I'd be likely to use it. I'm not online every day, and I do all my podcast listening in the car. And I've discovered that I do tend to call in to my podcasts where they have one of those nifty area code 206 numbers. I've always got feedback I want to send in, but by the time I'm actually near a computer again, I'm too tired, or I can't remember what I wanted to chime in about. Anyway, that's all the commentary I have at the moment, because I'm both tired and I can't think of the things I wanted to chime in about. Bah! Thanks for continuing to provide such thought-provoking entertainment. Gosh, you'd almost think that was an oxymoron. See you on the veranda. The reindeer."
All right, excellent. You know what? Yes, I would like to thank you very much for writing in. Excellent to hear from you, and I'm going to look into that. I'd like to come up with a call-in number. As much as, audio is still, so far as I can tell, because I test it occasionally from another location, functional to the extent that I can get things, but that doesn't help you in the car. And a lot of people have just pretty much given up on audio. I still haven't. You can still use it, but if I get a hold of one of those numbers, I will certainly, and I'm going to try to, I'm going to make the attempt. You will know whether I was successful or not by show 46. And that's an excellent idea. Thank you for reminding me that that's a useful thing. I'm going to pursue that. All right. What shall we say? Are we going to cut to a break? No, I don't think so. I think we're going to go right into the conversation with the Encabinated One. What I'll need to mention, though, before we get going is, as part of the Encaffeinated One's involvement in audio in general and radio, and you'll hear about it as he tells us all during the Skype chat, he was part of the production of a series of comic bits, comic audio fun stuff that went under the umbrella title of Wasted Tape, and occasionally scattered throughout the Skype chat, you'll hear little bits of that. You've already heard one at least, I'm sure, because I'm sure I placed it just after the introductory hello. And you'll hear it throughout. So you're not hearing Goon Show snippets. You're not hearing Round the Horn snippets. You are hearing original comedy from direct from Canada. And we thank the Encaffeinated One very much for that. What I will also mention here is Skype played silly buggers with us quite a bit during a conversation. And folks, we had a really long one. I think we talked probably for about, I'm pretty sure we talked for about 3.5 to 4 hours. And don't panic. The show is probably going to be in the neighborhood of 2.5 hours long. So what that means is I had to leave out an hour and a half of really cool dialogue that I wanted to be in the Skype chat, but it just would have made it way too long, just way too long, and I really feel bad about that. I wanted it to be in there. But part of Skype playing games with us, apart from constantly dropping the call, was in conjunction with Power Grammo, I didn't do anything except plug everything in and make it work, but Power Grammo stopped recording us about 18 minutes into our conversation and lost a good, I'd say, a good hour at least of our talking. But fortunately, I had my Olympus Digital electronic, I call it my electric earring. It's the digital recorder I've always used, and I had it taped up against the earpiece, the earphone inside my headset, which I did as a paranoia move, a backup to make sure that one way or another I was going to get the thing recorded. So there, about 18 minutes into the audio, you will notice a drop off in quality. It won't be any worse than a handheld conversation in a room with that Olympus recorder. It's just not quite as good as what Power Grammo can pick up when it's working. The quality comes back. Quality comes back after about an hour of that, and gets back up to the within the PC recording capabilities, and no noise, etc. Just wanted to let you know there's nothing wrong with your player, and I'm aware of it in the file. It's just that there was a whole hour of our talk that would have been lost forever if I hadn't thought ahead and made sure the batteries were fresh and switched on that little paranoia backup device. All right, enough of me. I'm shutting up now. We're going to get into it, and here it is. Skype Chat 6, the Incaffeinated One. Please enjoy.
Hello, once more.
And so, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly clearly now.
Well, that's no good, because I'm never perfectly clear.
In my mind, the term, for me at least, Big Weenie comes to mind, because I have one of these Logitech inline mute button thingies on the very line heading away from my headphone, and all I had to do is not press it to mute myself.
A little self-censoring going on there, is that what you're saying?
Well, a little more redefining of the term amateur as far as Anim 5 is concerned. But at any rate...
Well, the reason they call them simple mistakes is everybody can make them, so...
There we go. Universal. Easy.
Exactly.
Easy.
Technically, I think you just passed the first step to checking whether you're human or not.
There we go.
So machines don't tend to make mistakes. Well, not those mistakes, anyway. They only make the mistakes that people actually tell them to.
At the speed of light, or something
exactly.
Approaching it, yeah. So cool. Hello, Incaffeinated One.
Hello, Anim 5. You know, I just realized that both of our short names are these weird combinations of letters and some number. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, I know that mine originates with the animation file format from the Amiga from about 1,000 PC years ago.
Well, see, that's a much cooler story than mine.
Oh. You don't have to tell yours. Go ahead.
Well, it's no problem. It's kind of weird when I think back at how it really started. I was on a mailing list back in 93, I think it was. And the trouble was, the mailing list grew in size, and I was one of the original people. But the trouble is, there were a lot of people my name. My name is Mark, coincidentally enough.
Hmm.
So we searched around. It's got to be some way I can figure out to be the other guy, you know, some name. So they started coming up with all kinds of weird things. I kept talking about coffee every time I started my day.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we settled upon, he's Mark. He's the Incaffeinated One. That's how you can tell him apart.
Oh, that's excellent.
And it stuck ever since then.
That's
so
excellent.
I've been the Incaffeinated One, and I don't tell the story very often. I have a bizarre sort of convoluted story on my website, I think, which was more fiction than anything else, but it was more fun to write, too, really.
Would that be under the About? Is that on the About page?
That should be under the About page, yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Search for my own. I even forget what the story was. It was something like I descended from, I don't know, apes and coffee. I'm not really sure. What it. Okay.
Oh, that,
let's see.
That doesn't even produce any visuals. I just can't connect the two.
That's weird.
Oh, no, actually, this one doesn't have that explanation. What the heck did I... Oh, this is just an explanation about the website. Okay. I thought I had another one. Oh, well. I probably wrote it down somewhere.
Oh, which, that'd be, you know, handy to post. Get people to see.
Well, hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Sorry, go ahead.
If folks aren't used to the format of this show by now, they should realize that there is no format. The topic for this evening discussion is whatever the hell happens to pop into either one of our heads.
So, this could be very dangerous.
That's the point. So everybody deal and just sit back and listen.
Oh, that's weird. Everybody. Now I get the sense it's other people listening, which, you know, I do a podcast and I do local community radio. I'm used to not people not listening. So to actually think there might be people listening is rather disturbing, actually.
Well, I guess what you're used to is lack of feedback.
Very much so. Very much so. And I'm extremely jealous that your show, I think after the second episode, started getting this flood of wonderful feedback.
No, it wasn't actually the second. It took a while.
Did it take a while?
Oh, yeah.
I guess because I caught up in a rush. In fact, I almost feel this is my victory prize for having caught up, because I am now actually caught up to the current date and eagerly awaiting the next episode.
Well, you have incredible patience, and I thank you very much.
No patience required. It was really quite neat. Actually, the worst part about it, I think I said this in an email to you, was the fact that I wanted to savor these episodes. I mean, it was something like these episodes keep coming out, and I want to have time to sit, have my tea or coffee, whatever, and really listen to the episodes and think about what's going on. And every time there's a distraction, it's like, oh, no, I've got to stop this episode, got to listen to it again some other time. So it took quite a lot of time in the beginning until I kind of get used to it. And
well, I thank you
very
much.
Now I'm all caught up,
indeed.
And I'll just slack off.
Thank you very much indeed. That's probably among the best praise I'm ever going to get for the show. That's terrific. Thank you.
It's well deserved. You have a very interesting manner of interweaving your own commentary with this great feedback you're getting, and then putting your own spin on it, adding your own interesting, often very dramatic take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm into drama.
I kind of get that. Yeah,
I can get a little bit. I can get a little bit over the top sometimes.
But you know that's good, because too many people stop at the average level and they kind of never rise above it. So
yeah, I try to avoid vanilla.
Exactly. Although I actually like vanilla, but usually mixed in with chocolate and strawberry and other things.
Well, as far as feedback goes, though, I mean, you know, obviously you were doing the radio. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that in a bit, but you were doing the radio, the local traditional standard radio, along with the podcast for a while, and you were mentioning, actually in your most recent podcast, 53, which I downloaded and listened to today, and found that all the articles, all the articles I was going to bring up and like talk to you about, you'd covered on the show. You'd already gone into it. The robot with the expressive emotional face and the burning the seawater and all that stuff. I was like,
oh yeah,
okay, check that one off. Okay, no, we can't talk about that.
Well, but, see, it gets very dangerous, because I'm also an avid podcast listener. I listen to radio here as well, so I often hear about these things, and then I go, oh well, everybody's heard about them by now. But then I'll bring them up in conversation with friends and realize, no, not everybody's actually heard of all these things. So I have to ignore that I know anything, and then anybody else might know something too.
Yeah, whatever's interesting to you, it's going to be interesting to somebody else. And it's all about what shows overlap, you know, who's listening to what. There's folks that listen primarily to gamer podcasts that once in a while maybe you'll occasionally check out IDDFOS, not because it's particularly specifically related to gaming. But, you know, it just – and then there's folks that don't listen to gaming shows at all that will listen to IDDFOS and a whole bunch of other different shows. And, you know, the overlapping areas of interest and what people are going to hear and when, I guess in a way you do have to kind of pay attention to that. But I just – even if it's all over the place, I never let that stop me. I just go ahead and talk about it.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, a broadly based show as yours definitely can appeal to very different audiences. And I think you kind of bring them all together and let them talk it out, too.
I'm glad they're talking, because it seizes up my brain. all the different topics. This is a perfect segue to get into the weird show, because I think much as I really love hearing about my own program. I think it might be a good idea to start talking about folks, The Weird Show. The gentleman I'm talking to now is the host of The Weird Show, and I hope you've checked it out by now. If you haven't, please check it out, and you can find it at
encaffeinated.ca.
There we go. Most excellent. And which of course, a permanent link on the ID. If you're listening to this, then you know where the IDDFOS homepage is, and you'll find a permanent link to The Weird Show down in the right-hand column.
And it's funny too. Whenever I give out the website, I'm always tempted to spell it because I know more than one person who said, "How do you spell that?" And it's like, "Well, it's spelled exactly as it sounds." And they go, "But I don't know how to spell caffeine." Okay, I'm probably going to register another domain name, which is really, really simple. Something like ICan'tSpellThis.com or something.
Oh, yeah.
And just put that as my major link. But
it may already be taken.
It probably is. All the simple ones are taken. I'm really happy to get encaffeinated, actually, because it fit me well.
I found that I brought this up on one. Here we go. I'm going back to my own show. No, this is just a point.
You bring what you know. That's no problem, man.
Yeah, I kept talking about for episode after episode, and you know this because you just endured all of them, constantly saying, and that's anim5 at anim5.com. And I'm thinking about, and I finally realized in every one of the shows that I upload, I do an MP3 tag. I do an information tag that will display, it'll display the title of the show, but also the artist. And the artist is always listed as the website. So all anybody has to do is look at the screen or look at their little display on whatever portable player they're using and see what it is they're listening to, and I don't have to worry about spelling things out and this, that, and the other thing. I felt kind of, when I reached that conclusion, I felt kind of foolish.
It's no problem. I mean, even actually also another thing in iTunes that people may not be realizing is that when you have a podcast in iTunes and you select the podcast itself, there's a little arrow that appears off to the right-hand side of it. You click that, it goes to the homepage listed in the description of that website. So even if you don't know where to look for it and you can't read, you can still click that button. It'll take you there.
I have my problems with iTunes. Honestly, as far as finding things goes, I don't know. I think it's me. I think it's the way my brain works because their interface just throws me.
Well, that's just the nature of modern computers. If they didn't break, we wouldn't have anything to complain about.
Exactly.
If they didn't make our lives a living hell, we wouldn't endure the coming robot over war, whatever the hell I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all nervous now. I'm talking with a big guy. This is crazy.
Oh, please.
But, I mean, going back to listing the website, I mean, one of the reasons I have to do that is I actually have a dual audience. I mean, the show still goes out every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on the local radio station, and I'd like to encourage feedback from the local area as well as the podcast. I don't really want to record them twice or record different bumpers or something like that, so I just do that one. And try to encourage listeners and feedback from anybody. Not that I ever get it, but it doesn't stop me.
Well, you were talking about that in episode 53 of The Weird Show. You were talking about how media is changing and the fact that listener, viewer, the media consumer interaction is a lot more immediate and prevalent now.
I say that, and yet I get no feedback. So it's kind of ironic, actually, but... I know that for myself, I've been able to go and I've been able to email the people who've done the shows, even some of the radio shows sometimes now are doing it, and get actual feedback, realize there's a person on the other end and they really do, you know, have an opinion to give back to you. I mean, heck, I'm talking with one right now.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
It's excellent.
I think it changes the way we consume media. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know. I'm one of these people who's totally into it, but if I talk to a couple of my friends, it's like, yeah, whatever. I don't bother with podcasts, you know, and I can't convince them to do it. They think it's too much work.
Too much work?
I don't get that attitude, and I don't know what the resistance really is. I can't think it's being too much work because these are people that are very smart. Most of them work with computers normally anyway in some aspect of their job. They're artists who work with computers, or they've had to work with them even if just for games or whatever. So they're not stupid people, and they're not unfamiliar with computers. It's just that there's something about this which they just don't understand. Now, these aren't big listeners to radio either, so that might be it. I've always listened to radio. I've always loved radio, and for me it was a natural transition to turn from listening to radio live to getting what I wanted directly to me from on my schedule over the Internet.
Yeah.
But, I mean... most of these people will still turn on a TV and let it, you know, flip through the channels. And I don't understand that either. I've given up on scheduling my time to TV.
I've pretty much entirely given up on television overall. It's a lot to do with what you encountered when you're talking about people that just don't want to get much into podcasts or have very little interest. Like you said, if they're not radio listeners to begin with, or they're not really into audio entertainment that maybe isn't strictly music or something, it's all in what kind of entertainment you want, too. So they may know what a podcast is, they just don't particularly get all that entertained by it. And as far as television goes, lately, I guess for lately, I would say over the past 10 or 15 or 20 years, I haven't much found a whole hell of a lot to hold my interest in, and I guess I'm just jaded.
It's funny because I still love some things that are on TV. There are certain programs I really, really enjoy, and I watch those programs, but I don't just leave it on. I don't I don't let it drone in the background. I don't schedule my life to it. Although, except for one episode or one show, like one or two shows a week, I go over to a friend's place and I watch it with them, and it becomes sort of an event, time to share time. It's a time to enjoy the show together, and then when it's over, we might talk. We don't really pay much attention to TV afterwards. So, and that's one thing I do miss, is kind of the scheduling aspect of it. While it is nice to have all these wonderful freedoms that I can now schedule all the stuff myself, now I have to schedule all the stuff myself. A friend of mine put it really well. I said, why did you bother getting Sirius Satellite? You own most of that music already. And he said, well, what I really want is someone to go through my collection and put together nice playlists for me. And the closest I can get to that is playing Sirius Satellite, where it's the channels at least are, I know some reasonable idea of what's going to be played on there.
Sirius Satellite is a subscription of, I'm sorry, I'm ignorant of what it is.
It's a subscription satellite radio service.
Oh.
So it's digital radio broadcast via satellite, and you pay for a decoder, and you pay for a certain, it's kind of like getting satellite for TV, actually, but it's a radio service. And unlike terrestrial radio, it actually is almost all canned. There's no live aspect to it. And many of the stations are simply programmed lists of music that are played. Now, not all of them are at the top 40, so there is some hope for it. Some of them are, you might find a new wave channel where you'd be playing all the new wave stuff from the 80s and 70s and a little bit of the 90s. Or you might play classical music station, which will play, you know, some great music there. And that's, I like that idea, but, and as far as getting a random playlist together, that's pretty good. But, I don't know. I'd rather have my own playlist played for me. I can understand that completely.
It sounds also like it, you can get stuff from all over the world.
You can. I think it's a North American service, so they're primarily aimed towards that. But I think, yes, there's certainly some international aspects to it. CBC Radio, which is the national broadcaster here, is very, very good for having their programming local as possible for about half the day. It's pretty much local. Well, about a third of the day, really. But overnight, they broadcast public radio from other parts of the country. So if I'm up late, which I really shouldn't be anymore, but when I am, I can hear Deutsche Welle, or I can hear Radio Sweden, or I can hear ABC Australia, or different, and that's really fun, actually. But, and here's the problem with me, is I can't stay up that late anymore. I have to keep my sleep habits a bit more regular. So what I'd like to have is that, but on a podcast, that I can now put it in a time where I can listen to it.
Hmm.
I guess you can probably tell I'm quite passionate about this whole thing, and I really enjoy it. And it kind of disturbs me when people just don't seem to get it, and I can't seem to get across to them. I mean, almost all of them anyway, are all gamers too. So we don't actually have any magazines anymore. I mean, the last Bastion Dragon magazine just closed down to create this new online format, which, of course, it was a house organ for the most part. And while there are a couple of small print magazines, which I try to pick up whenever I can, there's really not that market, and it's kind of moved away from that. So I look to podcasts as my way of getting my gaming fix. Now, it's also the case that right now locally I'm not gaming, and our group kind of is too busy or too small to get together and game. So I only have that outlet. But
obviously, I mean, you probably heard yourself. There's quite a bit of talk about what Wizards of the Coast did, and is it Paizo Publishing?
I think so. Yeah,
Dungeon Magazine and Dragon Magazine having the license pulled or not renewed or whatever, and everything behind that, plus their Gen Con announcement. But the other thing that kind of well, it ties in directly with what you just said, is Gen Con is recognizing the fact, and a lot of these other gaming conventions and sci-fi fantasy conventions are recognizing that podcasting is becoming a new voice for publishing, for the gaming industry, all of that. They're being recognized as a force to be reckoned with, or at least noticed. Because
I think more than noticed, acknowledged, and I think they should be accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, gaming especially has always been a hobby industry. It's always about having fun and not necessarily about being very, very serious with it. It's not most people, rather most people don't have the opportunity to sort of game for money, if you will. I've always had that dream, as many gamers have, to, you know, be the wandering game master, where I'm called in to, you know, I'm scheduled in for an evening of gaming.
Rather, most people don't have the opportunity to sort of game for money, if you will. I've always had that dream, as many gamers have, to, you know, be the wandering game master, where I'm called in to, you know, I'm scheduled in for an evening of gaming, and I bring all my tools with me, and I host a game for, you know, $100 a night or something.
And then the alarm goes off.
Well, yeah, exactly. Then I wake up and realize, oh, jeez.
Oh, it's so sad. Oh,
yeah,
man.
But so, I mean, most people, it is a hobby industry, which means people do it for fun and they do it for passion. And also it means that it's a niche industry. It's not something that's mainstream, although there are some movements in that direction. There's always a bit of stigma attached to it. It's always a bit odd. It's for weird people, although I think increasingly people are realizing that more people are weird than they realized.
Yeah.
But it's so I think podcasting is so natural to that because of this many-to-many kind of medium where you can produce it very easily. You can get your views heard. You can distribute it extremely easy. People can pick it up very easily. People can interact with the content. Like in a magazine, they might be able to send a letter in, and maybe next month they'll see their letter. Now you can send an email in, and it might be the next episode, or it might get discussed back and forth with you immediately, or it might be a forum you discuss it with, or whatever. So, to me, they go together so well. And I was kind of disappointed this year. Last year, I listened intently to, I think, every single bit and tidbit and little piece and snippet of audio that came out of the Gen Con live podcasting thing that they did, and that was fantastic. Hearing and kind of virtually hearing Gen Con. I've been to Gen Con, but it's been, I think, 10 years since I've been to Gen Con.
Hmm.
And getting kind of that, getting a little bit of taste of that again was really neat. And, of course, all of the podcasters interacting with each other was kind of neat. I would have liked to have seen kind of more going on this year, but it seems to have disappeared somehow.
Well, it was a bit more scattered this year, at least in my impression, the impression I get, the Gen Con Almost Live, that was set up for 2006. It was excellent. It was fantastic. And I don't know whether, I think a lot of it had to do with, I could be totally wrong about this. I'm probably not remembering it correctly, but I think it was Dragon's Landing and Chuck Tinsley and Lonnie Azell that may have hosted that or spearheaded it or
I think they were definitely instrumental, and I think it was definitely a problem that they didn't go again this year, and that probably put a kink in the plans. But I would think that there was enough people there that more should have happened. But
it all kind of did. It was just that everybody was. I can perfectly understand it if you don't have a central locus to feed stuff into. Everybody was really kind of pretty much reporting on it on their own and by themselves. Which, when you got the kind of the sense of community that exists already, you're going to get the points of view, but you just have to go to lots of different places to get them. I really would like to see a Gen Con Almost Live thing set up for 2008. That'd be terrific.
I'd like to see it be a recurring feature, and I'd like to see some actual support, like real support from the Gen Con folks. I think they kind of tolerated it, and they didn't turn their back on it, but I don't think they necessarily gave them the access they could have had. The setup they could have had and things like that, and actually publicized it maybe even a bit more. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there obviously, but I don't think that they necessarily... I don't want to cast much aspersions to them because I think the Gen Con people do a great job, and I'm hearing a lot of encouraging things from them.
Yeah.
It was a mind-blasting experience when I went for the two times I went, and that was years ago, partially just because there's a certain feeling that I got just being among that many people who are also interested in this crazy, wacky hobby that I have had for years. You know, I'm in a small city here. I know the gamers pretty much in the city. I mean, there's only about, well, there's probably only a dozen or two dozen of them now. And that'd probably be stretching it. And you couldn't get them all in the same room. There's too many cliques and non-friends among them. But
not to mention scheduling.
Well, scheduling is a bigger thing, too, although I think most of us have reasonable schedules. I don't. I'm very bad that way.
Oh, well.
I inherited my mother's ability to take on way too many things to do, and I can't seem to find ways to get out of them.
Too many irons in the fire.
I've said it many times. It's become a hackneyed phrase to some people, and I thought I originated, and I really found that I didn't, but because I used to say, and I still do, that my biggest hobby is collecting hobbies.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the while the collection is there, they're a little dusty, and I only keep with a few of them. The fact that I still do the podcast and still do radio is probably the longest-term hobby that I've ever had, and I love it too much to give it up.
Wasted tape.
The following is a public service announcement from Wasted Tape.
Joe Cormier is taking his car in for repairs.
This has been a public service announcement from Wasted Tape.
And welcome to the Roll Monkeys.
And the Roll
It still has that new shuttle smell, all right?
Yeah, we just got this one.
You see? Next time I give you a warning about the ship, listen to me.
Yeah. No. See, I'm sorry. That's hogwash.
Doc, did you grab any medicinal grenades?
medicinal grenades.
Yeah.
Medicinal.
With everything else you have in your bag, I'm figuring you might have a medicinal grenade.
This will cure what ails you.
I would never want to do laundry at camp at 1 o'clock in the morning. I would be afraid that, like, a raccoon would swipe my underwear or something.
All right, so.
I was hoping you'd focus on flying the ship. I haven't smelled food smells from the galleon far too long.
Seriously?
God, let's do it. Why not?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do that. Why not?
Uh-oh.
We are the Roll Monkeys, the mighty, mighty Roll Monkeys. Ooh. And everywhere we go, people want to know.
How do you plan on solving this?
Yeah.
I don't want to let this go from beginning to end without talking a little bit more about this, the radio show, because I mean specifically the radio show you do. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, about the weird show or the rest of the stuff that I do.
The weird show, as in, you mentioned you do a regular traditional broadcast radio show.
Yeah,
and I know that I don't know enough about that, and I'm really interested in finding out how you got into it, what it is, and all that.
Oh, geez. Wow, this is cool. This is my chance to spill my beans that I've been holding on to for so many years because nobody's ever asked me. Nobody really cares. I have been doing radio now probably, I think my registration was something like 10 years ago. And just this little local radio station, just a campus and community radio station, we call it. And I got involved just kind of, I was curious. I had a decent enough voice. I was kind of curious about this whole thing. I showed up, and I was really freaked out by all the weird people I met there. I got over that really quickly. And I started doing, I actually did the 3 days a week I did news, 5 minutes of news at 5 o'clock, just as kind of my way in, and eventually moved on to having my own show. Now, somewhere in there, I started having a morning show. It used to be on Sunday mornings. I don't know why I decided to take a morning show. I am not a morning person.
me neither.
And I think it was because there was an opening in the slot, and they needed someone desperately to fill it. And whenever someone needed something desperately done, I apparently am the sucker to do it.
Oh no.
So I said, sure, I'll take that Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning shift when I really should be sleeping in.
Ew.
So I started there, and since then, that probably was 7 or 8 years ago, I've had a two-hour show. Now, the show has always been a bit schizophrenic. It started out with me kind of carrying over from the news gig all the weird stuff that I'd find in the news. Now, we had a news feed coming into the station, And when I did the five-minute newscasts, I would go in about 2 hours earlier and just go through the news that came in that day. And it would be all these little weird things that come in that I knew really wasn't the main part of the news. So I'd collect together my four or five main stories, and I tried to get one of these stories on the air. There was no censors. It was just me trying to, you know, making it the best newscast I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found that there were more and more and more of these weird things, and I just couldn't put them on the air. So I said, okay, well, I'll save all these up, and I'll put them on my show. So I started, that was the original form, and still to this day, the two-hour format, two-hour block is called Caffeine. So you'd wake up with me and Caffeine in the morning. And
is it still Sunday mornings?
No, it moved to Saturday morning about, oh, geez, probably 6 years ago, actually, it became Saturday morning. I'm totally bad with dates, so I'm probably completely messing up my own history. Isn't that ironic? I never was good at history, my own especially.
Yeah, I'm lousy with dates, too. I understand that completely.
But, yeah, no, it switched over to Saturday mornings. It's still at 8 o'clock in the morning, but for some reason I thought that was better. I don't know exactly why. Maybe I thought I was going to get more listeners. But the two-hour show used to be completely all one thing. It was me. I'd come in with these weird stories. I'd play a little music. I'd put on the weird stories. I tried to find the most outlandish and weird music to play first thing in the morning, which led me to all kinds of crazy stuff. And one of the things I found along the way was this whole thing about ambient music. I found I really, really loved that music and really loved the sort of odd, quirky, long, instrumental, wordless kind of pieces of music. And it could be something that goes as far as techno or something that's as low as minimalist. And I also noticed that there was really no one playing it on the station. And, of course, look at that. There's a problem to solve, so here comes Sucker to do it.
Yeah.
And I decided to switch my format, so I switched it to 1 hour being these long pieces that I play, and the other hour being the other hour. So I had this 2 hours called Caffeine, so naturally I called the first hour Cappuccino and the second hour Espresso.
Okay.
Because it was kind of like the first one was your mellow, soft introduction to the day, and the second hour, once I've gotten you all soft and ready and comfortable, I hit you with the weird stuff.
Wake up!
Pretty much. I used to do that, actually. I used to just like, okay, time to wake up. It's time for Espresso! And it was just kind of weird. It was kind of goofy. And actually I discovered I like surf music by doing that show, because surf music just fits so well with half of the stuff I was doing. If you get the high-speed surf music, it was crazy.
So you combine that with offbeat news and you're all set.
Exactly. And so I used to do about two or three news articles, then I'd put a piece of music on, and then do two or three more. And it grew into me doing 5 or 6 hours of research for the show. In those days, when I first started out, I would do the research on Friday nights. So I would start about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I would finish, and I would print out everything I'd found. So in those days, anywhere from probably 70 to 100 pages. Shuffle them all together, trying to find some coherent things to put them together, and then do the show live on Saturday mornings.
Oh, God.
So I would do the show. I would ruffle through my papers. I would try to find a reasonable thing to put together, do two or three articles, and try. I'd go in at 6 o'clock in the morning to find music. The show didn't come on until 8, so I had a couple hours to go and dig through music, trying to find music that was relevant to the stories, just kind of anything. Could have been, you know, if there was a werewolf mentioned, fine, I'll find something with a werewolf in our catalog. And
now, when you're talking about in those days, you're talking about pre-internet, right? I mean, as useful internet as it is now, right?
No, actually, I this would have been only about 6 or 7 years ago, and at that point I was heavy into the internet, and that's where most of my stories came from. Canceled our news service. And so I had no choice but to find some alternative mechanism. And my work at the time had high speed, plus I was starting to get high speed. I had dial-up for a long time there.
Well, that was good, because I was picturing a Friday night with you trying to go through this news feed and just collect the offbeat stories and all this stuff. I was like, how could you research this in one evening?
No, and I found there wasn't quite enough coming in on these five-line stories, because they were all prepped for radio, so they'd only be 5 or 6 lines long. Mm-hmm. And I was finding there wasn't enough material there, so... I remember more than once going into my office. I probably shouldn't say that too loudly, but my office had this great thing. It was called a printer. And it didn't gauge how much people printed. So I would go in and like 2 in the morning, go in and print my stuff out. And then, when the office was closed and normally. And nobody cared, because I also had a habit of sometimes coming in and working at 2 a.m., so nobody really cared. And I don't think it was really costing that much. I just couldn't afford a laser printer of my own.
Hey,
I have one now.
But if they were going to make you the patsy for all these things and have you do, you know, taking up all the challenges, then I think you earned, you know, 2 a.m. printing jobs.
Sure, sure. Well, I don't work there anymore, but that's not for that reason. But but I did eventually buy my own laser printer and put it to heavy use. Now, for several years, I put it to heavy use, and I've been, for most of my life, I won't say an environmentalist. I don't have that kind of passion for it, but I've always been concerned. I've always been worried about my impact on the environment. So I decided, no, I can't do this anymore. I can't print them out. So a few years ago, I decided to take the whole thing paperless as much as possible. So now I collect them all together, actually one huge Word document. I'm working on changing that system and do it all that way and put it all together. So, and that changed as well. And I'd done the show for a number of years, and it's got to be a very good habit. It's the weird thing, because I can only get up early on Saturday mornings. Any other day of the week, I can't do it, but I always get up early on Saturday mornings. Well, except for a couple of times. I did sleep in, but I, only a couple of times. I did that for several years, and then I think 2 years ago, I started listening to podcasts, started hearing about this thing called podcasts. I think it was Coverville was actually the first one I listened to, because I was kind of curious about that, and I like music. And it just exploded from there. I mean, I listen to way too many podcasts. I look over to my iTunes right now, and it tells me I've currently unwatched or unlistened to 3,846 episodes of whatever I've got there, so I'm a little bit behind.
Holy crap!
I have some ambition to get all that listened to, but at the same time, nobody's pod-fading anymore, so I probably won't catch up at any point in time. So the fact that I spent some time to your show and caught up is also telling, I think, to the quality and interest I have in your show.
I was about to say, that just makes me feel all the more honored for you having devoted that kind of attention to it. But
so you've got more than...
I didn't want to start talking about my show again.
Well, you've got more than 1/271th of my interest. I'm just 271 podcasts now in my list.
Oh,
but, yeah, I started hearing about this thing called podcasting, and I don't know why I didn't make the connection right away that I should probably be doing this, but I listened to podcasts for, like, 6 or 8 months and think, this is really cool. I'd love to do this someday, but I have too much on my plate right now. And I kind of realized, wait, I can do this someday. I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
The only major shift was I could no longer use the music that I'm used to. So I could that part used to be a fairly big, good break for me. I used to take... You know, a 2-minute song would give me enough time to gather my wits and collect my stories and whatever. So the first thing I did is I switched to a pre-recorded format. So I recorded at home and saw how that was going to work. Then I had to burn it onto CD and I carried it into the station every Saturday morning. And that's worked out so well. Then I started looking at music and how can I use music and what can I do with music and how can I use my meager editing skills to try to put together a theme song or show or whatever. And that pretty much brings me to the podcasting and what I'm doing today. Now, I have a bigger role to play in the station. I still have these 2 hours, but I'm also, for the last 2 years, I've been a member of the executive committee and a member of the programming committee, and I'm also... apparently they gave me a title. I am the spoken word coordinator for the radio station as well, which I haven't done as much with actually over the last year. I will be doing more this year.
Well, that's great.
And in the past, I've done a little audio comedy because I was interested in audio drama. No one really wanted to do full drama. People were interested in laughing for a little while. So we put together a small troupe called Wasted Tape, which was a lot of fun to do, primarily two of us, and then we kind of call in a lot of other people to do it. And I should say primarily Jeremy, my friend who did this. He was the guy who had the binder, and the binder was all the names. If we needed somebody, I said, Jeremy, we need somebody to do this. And he go, okay, go through the list. Here, how about this person? Call him up, see if we can get him in. And we did that for about 2 years. We actually put out 2 CDs, just published them ourselves, and Jeremy was also a big booster. I, as you may know or may be able to tell, I suck at promotion. I just don't like doing it. So he was the one who called different radio stations throughout Canada and the U.S. and actually sent them our CD.
Oh, good.
We've had a notice that somewhere, I think it might even be Ontario, California, which would be ironic given the PMEs are there, but apparently they played our CD on the local station there. And it still apparently is in the libraries of about two dozen radio stations, I think, in North America. A number of them in Canada and also in the States. So, and that's bizarre to me.
Is this something your listeners could get hold of?
I don't know if we actually sell. We never really sold that many. I think there was a donation policy. If you gave like $10 to the station or whatever, we would give you one of these CDs.
Hmm.
And I don't know if we're still doing that. It was several years ago. I would suggest we probably would want to. I've used that as an intro. Actually, I was talking to Jack Ward over email. He's the guy behind the Sonic Society, which is a podcast and radio program, actually, out of CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And that show is all about finding and collecting together good audio drama, most of it being original audio drama from I guess just amateur troops, really, or people who are doing it really out of the love of it, not doing it professionally. And I said to him, I said, look, and I happen to be involved. I got all the stuff behind me. It's like, you know, building up my resume kind of to him, I don't want to impress him or something. I don't really have to impress him. But and I said, oh, and I happen to do this thing called a Waste of Tape a number of years ago. And he said, you did Waste of Tape? That's awesome. It's like, oh, yeah, really? I'll use that on my resume. Because I'm still proud of it, but at the same time, it was a little goofy. Oh, of course, comedy, it should be goofy, but it was a lot of fun.
Hey, why not?
We did. We had so much fun doing that, and we even have one musical to our name. Now, these are all real short. I mean, everything was 2 to 5 minutes long, but we did a musical. That's a strange idea. We did a musical. I was walking in Staples. Now, I'm one of these people that, for whatever reason, I cannot explain this, I really like office supplies. I don't know what it is about them. I will go into Staples and I will wander the aisles, and I never have to drag myself out without buying anything because I already have enough pens. I don't try to use paper, and I just bought a PDA, so I'd stop carrying these stupid notepads around. But and I got to thinking, is like, how weird is that? And I thought, how funny would that be? So to the sound of what was the song? Oh God, now I can't remember it. These are a few of my favorite things. That's what it was.
Okay.
We found, Jeremy found, again, Jeremy was a driving force. I miss his input in all this. He's still in the city, but he kind of gave up on all this stuff a while ago. He was also at the radio station and did way too many things there. But he found some music that had no lyrics, but it was the music to that song. And so we sat over dinner one day and said, look, what are we going to do with this? And I had this weird sort of thing played out in my mind, and he was much better at poetry and, as it turns out, much better at music. In fact, I got really embarrassed and really angry at him when I realized that I really, really have no sense of music, or at least timing whatsoever.
Oh,
I can sing a little bit, but my timing is definitely bad. So he was trying to, you know, show me how this meter should work, and I was going, no, that can't possibly, you know, rah, rah, rah. Turns out later I was totally wrong, and he was absolutely right. But anyway, I wrote all the stuff that's the filler around it, and he wrote the lyrics to match. We hashed out the lyrics. He wrote most of them, but to match that song, and it's all about two people who romance in this in a Staples over their love of office supplies. But it ends in tragedy because she finds someone else who has like better taste in office supplies. I know. I think he was the store clerk or something. It's been a while since I've listened to it.
Wasted tape.
Well, just have to sign these checks and our business is finished. Oh, damn.
What?
Oh, my pen seems to have run out of ink. Oh, but look, there's plenty of ink in the stem. Damn.
It's probably just dry. Those dime a dozen pens never last. Here, try mine.
Thanks. Hey, nice balance. Wow, that's incredible. It's so light and responsive. It's like an extension of my hand.
Thanks.
Where do you find these pens, Harry?
There was a time when that was all I thought about. That and eggshell 8.5x11 cardstock. I was just beginning university, and I needed some school supplies. A new town, a new mall, and this huge office supply place just opened up. I was in heaven. I was searching for just the right shade of paper for reports. Can't have just that common white stuff, you know. And then, I spotted her.
Her?
She was the light of my lamp. There, looking through the stacks of paper supplies, I could see her carefully examining the piles, looking over the boring standard bright white generic paper, and seeking out the specialty paper. Oh, what a beautiful sight! Tender, eggshell white with sharp edges.
The girl?
No, the paper. She would be the cap to my pen. I just knew it. We were destined to be together, like a pencil and a sharpener. Oh, even now I swoon to think on her. Be still, my flipping chart.
So, did you talk to her?
I wanted to, but I was so nervous. Finally, I gathered up my courage, and a few spare rolls of semi-translucent tape, gripped my favorite lucky pen tightly, and walked up to her.
And?
Stammering and sweating, I asked her the question.
You mean...
Is that eggshell 8.5 by 11 cardstock, or semi-gloss ivory craft paper?
Wow. And what'd she say?
For a long, quiet moment, she said nothing. And then, slowly, she smiled and said...
Eggshell white, 57-pound heavyweight cover stock, actually.
Wow. You really know your paper.
Oh, a girl's gotta know her paper in times like these.
I guess. At that moment, we just connected. One thing led to another, and soon we were exploring all our mutual desires. We looked at binders, Rolodexes, envelopes, portfolios. It didn't take us long to realize we were made for each other. Rhonda, I don't know what I'm feeling.
Oh, that's my pen. Sorry.
No, I mean, I think... Yes. I love this store.
Oh, Fred.
My name's Harry.
Whatever. I love this store, too.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, they've got notepads and Post-its.
And copier paper. Boxes of staples.
Just right for my stapler.
Folders.
And pencils.
And binders with rings.
These are a few of my favorite things. Blackboards and whiteboards and plastic timetables. Laptops and notebooks and USB cables. 8.5 by 11 in piles. Cute letter paper in several styles.
Coffee and candy and all kinds of yummies. Linux for workstations, Windows for dummies. Cases for carrying feels really tough. This is where I find all my cool stuff.
When the bulbs burn, when the seat clinks, when my work is despised, I pick up a few of my favorite things, and then I am organized.
Oh, Harry, I think I finally found Mr. Wright.
Really? Where?
Here, see this pencil?
Oh, that's a clever brand name, Mr. Wright.
I wonder if they have Mr. Erase.
The more that I come here, I think that the more
I just love every item from pens to thesauri. Excuse me, do you sell the no-smoking sign?
Yes, over there it's just $3.99.
The store where the most opportunity knocks in, the one with the paper clips and the inboxings. When I am here, I've a smile on my face. So well supplied, it's a hell of a place. When the balls burn, when the shade clings, when my work is despised, we pick up a few of our favorite things.
Yes, we pick up a few of our favorite things.
Yes, we pick up a few of our favorite things, and then we are
$4,000.
You have a weird life, Harry.
Oh, those were the days. It was like I was the leather-bound itinerary, and she was my custom-fit calendar and notepad insert.
Sounds like it must have been perfect. So, you're not still together?
I guess it wasn't meant to be. We started getting bored. The thrill, the novelty of the store, it was gone.
Ah.
Of course, we tried to recapture it. She started hanging around a lot with her friend, Carlos. He was a supply clerk at a major business.
Ooh.
Yeah, a dream job. Anyway, I started going to the store by myself.
Oh.
I'd make up some stupid excuse about a project I had to do that needed a tinted translucent cover, as though a regular Duotang folder wouldn't do just fine.
Hmm.
I got more and more desperate. Then, one day, she finally caught me at home. The office supply catalog in one hand, the telephone in the other, my pants around my knees. At that point, it was over.
Hey, you'll find somebody else someday.
Not like her.
Oh, come on, there's plenty of cards in the Rolodex.
I suppose.
Of course. Well, if you'll excuse me, I should get going on my own report here.
A report? What font are you using?
MS Comic Sans Serif. What?
Maybe you could use some help with your presentation.
Oh, you bet I could. I don't know anything about this stuff. You want to give me a hand?
Bill, this could be the beginning of a long and correctly formatted document.
Yeah, it ends in tragedy, and at one point the guy's saying, yeah, it ended with me. She caught me in the men's room, pants around my legs, and I had the new Staples catalog on my lap. It was just, it was so bizarre, and I almost regret writing that. But but it was just, I'm still kind of proud. It was like 8 minutes. It was the longest thing we'd ever done, and it was just so much fun, and it was so bizarre. But it burned the two of us out. Like, we could not do anything. We stopped talking to each other. I know there's a lot of comedy groups like that. I'd like to put myself and elevate myself for a moment to the level of those comedy groups that do that, the famous ones, you know, the Pythons never got along with each other or whatever, although we were never that good. And we never really had that much anger. Well, I kind of did because I resented him pointing out all my faults. But, I mean, it was fun. And half the time, it was these scripted things. The first one I wrote was I wrote it in the hallway. I was just kind of like, we need a script. Let's do something. It's like, okay. And so I wrote this little thing. It was a local controversy about a culvert being turned into, like, just paved over, basically. And so I elevated that to being the damming of the Nile by an Egyptian prince. It was very strange. He said, okay, I can do this, and he found a bunch of people. He did his own special effects, sound effects. There's not much in there, but a little bit. And he turned it into, you know, an actual play. He's like, damn, we can do this again. So we did it again. And so half of them kind of turned out that way. Half of them were sitting around a microphone, let's do something funny. And then we edit and kind of go, okay, that worked. The reason we called it Wasted Tape is we originally started actually recording on reel-to-reel tape, and we went through a lot of reel-to-reel tape and just was recording over and over and over again.
Oh, man.
And it just was terrible. And in fact, there's a little stinger that Jeremy put together for the intro to Wasted Tape, and that stinger is actually the tape we did record that got mangled up in the tape machine. So we recorded it forward and backward, and it sounds really, really cool. And that is actually the Wasted Tape that we created.
Matt, and, this is all extremely tantalizing to hear about, particularly...
Well, it's even better to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's great to relay the experiences, but just to be able to... What I'm saying is, you're describing it makes me want to get hold of, and I'm sure other people that are interested in audio comedy of any kind would want to get hold of this, just hearing
well,
about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I have the rights to distribute what I like, so I'll try to send you I'll see if I have that. I know I have it somewhere in my iTunes.
Oh, that
I'll see
fun.
If I have, especially maybe the musical or something, or maybe one of the other ones that I have, if you want to. I think I've given out more copies than I really should. Oh, it's not my iTunes. Where the hell is it? Oh, I'll find it. I'm sure the CDs are... Actually, they're in the library for CHSR. I can just go over there and take them out and copy them.
Yeah, I mean, I know I personally am very curious. I don't know.
It probably sounds much, much worse than I remember, which is why I haven't listened to it in a while. But I still laughed the last time I heard it, so maybe that's a good sign.
Well, it's a very good sign, particularly years later.
Yeah.
If that's the case. And I mean, it. I know I'm curious. I'm just wondering how much you could make use of it for your own purposes as far as your podcast is concerned. It doesn't quite actually fit the format of what you do.
No, and I've taken kind of the spirit of that and inserted that in some of the things I do for my interstitials or whatever in my show, because I needed to have breaks. And because it was dual purpose, it was both radio and podcasting, I couldn't do the typical podcasting thing, which was I play promos for other people's shows. So I kind of decided, okay, well, I need something to go in here. I need something to break it up. And at first I was just doing a simple sound effect or one movie quote or something like that, something that's fairly reasonable to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, what if I put a couple of these together and make it sound better? It's like, well, what if I get a little fast, more and more? And then it gets kind of grown, and I have to cut it back now.
Are you the one that does news from the future?
Yeah.
That's you.
That was just before I started up again. I said, I should do something different, just something out there. And So I sat down and I started playing around and I just kind of sat and went, news from the future.
And
what the hell can I say? And so I sat down, I started playing around. I got a format together. I got this little thing in my editor together, and all I have to do is record an audio track for the voice, and I can plunk one of those out. So I was like, this is great, I can redo this. And so I recorded six of those that night. Each kind of relaying, and there actually is a bit of a story that's developing. You heard a bit of it tonight, actually, with the last episode with a bit about the clones.
Yeah.
And the creepiest thing is I've put three of those in the show so far, and they fit. That was the weird thing. I created these about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and the one I put in today's show was just the next one in line. It happened to deal with people not having babies in the way, and it fit perfectly in that segment. It's like, wow, this is kind of creepy.
I thought it was planned.
No, it was not planned at all. It was just kind of thrown in there. So that's why there's that part at the end where people no longer have to walk. They just float everywhere. again, these were all just top of the head. It's like, what can I say? Okay, I'll say this, and then just kind of record it and go. And I'm hoping to do more of those. I think they're a fun little interstitial. But some friends of mine who listened to the show said in the previous show that I went a bit too far because I had a battle. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was, I think, Marvin the Martian versus Ash from Army of Darkness. And because that was the quotes that I happened to have. And
it made me very, very angry. Yeah.
Exactly. And okay. It was that one. And so I had him kind of off a little distance, a little bit more echo, because he was kind of screaming over his ship, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a battle between the two of them. But it all went on for like 2 minutes or something. It was a little longer than I really meant it to be. But it was so much fun to put together. But I'm going to try to make those a little shorter. And it's funny now, because originally I wanted to have 4 segments in the show, about 15 minutes each. And I find now that once I've gotten to the first segment, almost always 20 to 25 minutes have passed. I can't shut up about these things.
This is the problem I have myself. I can't edit myself. I just can't.
Well, you have a bit of a luxury in that your shows can be whatever length you want them to be. Mine have to be an hour or so. Originally, when it went over an hour, I actually took a section out and only put that in the podcast version. So if you go back about 6 or 8 episodes, I think it is, the podcasts actually go to be about 1:10, 1:15, mm-hmm. and they were only that way on the podcast. It was actually a separate edit, and I actually added an interstitial as well.
Hmm.
So you didn't hear those on the radio. Then recently, I start stealing minutes from myself. I have the luxury of 2-hour blocks, so I just start stealing minutes from my first hour to make up the extra blathering I've done for my second hour, so I don't run over. I don't know. I'm trying to cut back on that. I think this one was only 5 minutes over or something. But
I think I should take a page from your book and really try and limit the length of my shows. But
it's hard because, especially in your case, you talk about really interesting things. And even you do. You cut yourself off some set of times and you say, look, if I go down this line of thinking, we'll be here for another 2 hours. Actually, I got to say, when I came in, I was listening to your show and kind of getting caught up, and it's like, okay, I'm going through these, you're like an hour each, no problem. Like, well, this one's a little longer, it's about an hour and a half, okay, I can handle that. Geez, they're getting a little longer, and it's like, oh, this is over 2 hours. Like, okay,
yeah.
This is going to take me a little more time to catch up than I thought it would.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, and I even think at an hour, I mean, there's been a lot of debate that I've seen and heard from podcasters and seen on some of the mailing lists and stuff about how long a show should be. And some people say 5 minutes, that's it. Nobody has time for anything more than 5 minutes. So it's like, well, okay. I listen to a lot of shows that are longer than 5 minutes. I'm nuts, so I can't really use my judgment here. But because I'm obviously bonkers. I've got way too many shows that I can possibly listen to. And again, I've collected way too many hobbies and responsibilities. Oddly enough, I noticed there's a correlation between the number of keys you have and the amount of responsibilities you have. When your keys start dragging down your pants, you've got too many. And I'm currently on that level.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, the length of the show, it kind of got dictated by what I was doing in radio. So I conveniently sidestepped the question by putting somebody else's limits on it instead of my own. So I think at an hour it's okay. And I know when I'm doing the show, I mean, that hour passes like nothing. More than once I'll be doing the show and look over and go, oh my God, I've been speaking for 35 minutes. And I'm speaking now kind of the way I do in my show, which is I get excited, I get doing the show. If you heard today's show, so you heard me when I was trying to slow down at the beginning. It's like, ah, screw that, let's just do this, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't be all calm and sophisticated.
Sorry, we're not engaging the locomotive governor on this one either. So,
well, and I have like 60-70 pages for the stories. I'm not going to read everything verbatim. I don't do that. I worry sometimes that I read too much. But what I try to do is give context for the story, and I summarize on the fly the context of the story. Half the time I haven't read the story, so that's why when I'm going through a story, I'll suddenly go, oh, that's what he meant about that. Sorry. Because I do it much the same way I used to do when I was live. I do it as if I'm doing it live. I'm doing it as quick as possible. I'm flipping through the Word document as I'm pandering. Sometimes you'll hear me kind of go on a little longer about something, and I'm just making a joke, or I'm going, that's because I need more time to go and flip through the index to find the next story to do.
Oh, wow.
So I've got the ability from many years of being able to babble on the radio to be able to read something and kind of go through the document and just keep speaking as if I'm totally focused on the speaking. So
that's a rare talent.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a big challenge. Every once in a while, I do have to pause, but I don't edit anymore. Except if it's something totally egregious, like if a car passes by outside the window and totally obliterates my sound, because I'm just recording in my bedroom, and it's been so hot this summer, I've had to have the windows open, so it's been kind of iffy whether I could even do it. Those are the only things I edit anymore. I just let the show roll, and I do it as live as possible. And I think that brings the most energy into it as well. I think that's the most honest way I can do it, is to bring, and I find that when I tried scripting it a little bit, for one thing, it took an enormous amount of time. I start my research usually on Thursday nights around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I do about three or four hours that night, either two or three hours of research on Fridays. Do the recording, it takes about a little over an hour and a half to do the recording, because I pause a couple of times and look for stuff, and then I'd go and edit. And editing now is assembling. So I put the pieces in, I try to find ways of putting interstitials between them, and that's done.
I spend a great deal of my time editing. I mean, a lot of it has to do with just finding the stuff that I'm going to stick in, but also, I don't know, I think I spend quite a bit more time in post-production because I'm not as good as you as doing it on the fly. I don't have that kind of...
Well, the shows, whatever you're doing, are turning out fairly well. I mean, and it's interesting, too, because you've had trucks to contend with. You've had deadlines and this whole job situation, which I understand that's still going on.
It's
up in the air.
I guess I don't know. I should probably give a little more clarification about that. The way I look at it is the theater itself is the ship, like the four master, the clipper, the whatever, sailing ship that was on fire and getting ready to sink, and we as the shop warehouse in a different town altogether. Though owned by the theater, we were the supply repair barge being towed behind it.
Okay.
So the theater actually at this point has managed to put out the fire, doesn't appear to be in danger of sinking anymore. However, we all on the repair barge keep looking at that tow line leading to the ship, thinking, when are they going to chop through it?
Yeah.
When are they just going to leave us behind? And while we like to think of ourselves as an integral part of the theater as a whole, we're not all that sure that everybody is of that frame of mind, particularly people that are making the money decisions. So,
well, I guess if you guys are gone, they turn it completely into theater of the mind. They tell everybody, please close your eyes and just imagine we have a set.
Well, yeah, actually, there's a lot of different ways for a theater to operate. One of them is to turn into a roadhouse where people that already have sets come in and do their show. And then, of course, we're not the only shop. We just happen to be the shop that grew with the theater and know precisely how
what levels of quality and what's safe, what isn't, how quickly things need to change. You know, if they go with an independent shop, then that'll be a whole new set of lessons for them to relearn, because they tried that once. But, you know, it's just, what's happening now is we are building the new season. We're building the new shows as the season opens. And it's almost mainly out of the fact that the place just hasn't had time to find an alternative. In other words, the whole situation is continuing under its own momentum. And what I've got my eyes on now is actually the close of this season, which is going to be probably sometime around June of next year. So while the cat is out of the box and in relatively good health, there's now I'm looking to next year as a determining factor of whether this is going to continue.
There's another box lurking around the corner.
There's another box lurking around the corner, so there is that.
See, I didn't have quite as traumatic experience, but I have a little bit. I can sympathize, if not necessarily understand completely your situation, because before I decided to go back to university, I was working for a company, very happy working for the company, except when some venture capitalists, that's the term, came in and decided to start funding the company. And the more they funded, the more control they had, until eventually they basically folded the company.
And
they were trying to slyly say that their other office they opened up had nothing to do with us. It was just a sales office. So we kept asking them, why are you hiring developers if it's a sales office? Anyway, that whole situation kind of happened about the same time I'd made the decision that I really wanted to go back and do my master's. And so I'd already been making overtures and saying, I really like to go and do my part-time master's. People were fine with it. I'd still work like 2 or 3 days a week or whatever and do my master's. Then the big news came and said, well, we're closing down this office. Oh, really? Well, I guess I'm going to go full-time with my master's. And I was in the luxurious position of being a senior developer and not liking them in the slightest, not liking these people who had taken over and having all the cards. And I had them calling me as I'd moved into a room. I moved out of my apartment immediately. I saved my money up. I paid for my tuition. My first 4 months were completely on my own saved money until I found funding. But I was in my room. I literally had the computer up. I was working on some homework. They called me up and tried to negotiate to have me come back to the company. So I kept telling them, you know, it's going to take this unreasonable amount and this unreasonable thing. And you're going to have to deal with these people that I really respect, who they hated in the company. And so I had that wonderful, luxurious position of being able to and walk away completely from them and kind of let them flounder all they liked. And then I went back to school. And so while I can kind of understand that idea that your position is somewhat shaky, I got lucky and kind of had enough money saved and had already this jumping off point to do.
I like that. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I got to say, I like that a lot.
Well, I got to say, it was fun.
Good.
Literally, like, you know, no, I want you to, I want you to do this, and you're going to have to do this, and you have to assure me these things. And it's like, well, we can't do that. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you've already broken my trust in you once. I'm going to have to have some overtures here. And it's like, and after a while, it's like, look, I just can't deal with you directly. I don't necessarily have negotiation skills. I want you to work through this guy. And this guy I trust implicitly. I had worked with him at the company for like 5 years. And I knew where his head was at. Moreover, I knew where his heart was. And I knew that if he was working on my behalf, I would get a good deal. And they hated him because if he was working on my behalf, I would get a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That was my little revenge. The better revenge came 2 years after we sued them for our final salaries. And here I am, a struggling student. I'm funded, but you know I still have some debts left over. I still had a $10,000 credit card debt. I had a car that I was paying for. And here comes this check. Oh, here's your last pay 2 years later. And it's like, great, there goes the credit card debt, because at that point I saved and spent bought most of it off.
Dig it.
And when I finished my master's and started my PhD on a full scholarship, so I can't complain too much.
Oh, that's excellent.
And that's the other thing which occupies 99% of my time.
Your PhD is?
In computer science.
Slick.
And progressing, and not nearly anywhere near done. Well, I don't know if that answered any of the questions you were leading to.
Well, it's certainly not going to be something that's certainly not going to happen overnight, computer science.
No, it's been like 2, maybe 3 years of my PhD now, and it doesn't look like overnight is going to happen anytime soon. I've got about 8 months before I really have to say it's done, and I think I can do it, but, man, I take on way too many things. I'm also working on a project, a research project, which takes up about three of my days of my week. And so I have 3 days on that, 2 days on my radio show, I have 2 days on my PhD, and I have 2 days with my friends, and another 2 days to eat, sleep, and shower somewhere in there. So I think that's like 10 days a week or 20 days a week or something.
Ow.
I don't know. It's kind of nuts. And yeah, oh well. And see, that's one of the reasons I went on that hiatus. I thought, okay, I'm going to take 4 weeks off. And I'm going to see what difference it makes. I'm going to see if I really miss it. I'm going to see if I can not go back to it, if I can possibly walk away from this. I'm going to see if I can get, and of course what I immediately started doing is like, well, if I do want to come back, I want to have some tools in place. And I started thinking, well, what am I going to need to build these tools? I was like, okay, I just replaced the task I was doing with another one. And this is not a good way to make progress.
All right. Cut red wire A and splice it into the blue thingy. Wait a minute. This one goes there and that one goes there. Okay. This is Dickie.
Hello, Agent TK-421. Codename Dickie. This call is to inform you of your new mission.
I haven't even finished this.
To learn of the inner workings of geek culture.
Geeks have culture?
To do this, listen to the Stealth Geek Podcast for a unique perspective on all things geek.
Podcast?
Oh, and one more thing.
Of course there is.
I forgot about the bomb.
Bomb?
Over and out.
Bomb? Oh, shit. The Stealth Geek. Geek from a different perspective. Find it at artofbalance.net/thestealthgeek or on iTunes.
Wasted tape.
Meet Darren.
Hi.
Darren has been walking to Unca's Subs for months now.
Yep.
He's been going every day for his lunch, getting one of our fresh, legendary sandwiches.
Yep.
Little does Darren know, we've secretly been replacing his healthy, calorie-reduced mayonnaise for weeks with a smooth, creamy lard.
What?
Because Darren is so gullible and stupid, he's been gobbling those sandwiches down on a regular basis, never realizing that the cause of his rolls of fat could have anything to do with his yummy, delicious, lard-filled sandwich.
Hey!
In fact, Darren has been lying to you. He said he was walking to Unca's Subs every day, but in fact he only walks around the corner, where he catches a cab. So hooray for Darren. He's our kind of customer. Deceitful, chunked full of fat, and totally gullible. Three cheers for Darren.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Thanks?
Shut up, you fat tub of lard.
Unca Subs is a division of Hens Oil Assorted Fat Products, putting the dye in diet.
And eventually I said, look, I just don't have time to make these tools. I'm going to take the time and just relax a bit. So I did. When I had 4 weeks off, so I went to 4 old episodes. And I played those episodes on air, and that was how I replaced myself for those times. I got to say, it was really kind of neat hearing those older episodes and how different it was when I was live on the radio on Saturday mornings, just barely awake. And kind of barely awake, but I got to say, and this would happen every single week when I was doing it live especially, I would show up and I'd be like, I can't do this. My God, I'm barely awake. I can't move. I do the ambient show. It's like, okay, that's kind of relaxing. That gets my mind kind of going. And then I started the show, and it would take no more than 2 seconds into the show. It's like, all right, now I'm ready to the show. I'm coming out. All right, good. This is the show. And I was just totally energized by this. It's
that's
like,
right.
Wah. And I would be done the show, and I'd be like sweating. It's like, oh, I just did like 40 miles. And that's what kept me going. That's what keeps me going every week. Every week I kind of go, geez, I got, you know, I've set up this task for myself. And there's no one to blame but myself. I could do a half-ass show. I could do one where I, you know, I read 5 headlines and I say, yeah, and that's the show. I might be capable of doing that, but I can't do that, you know what I mean? It feels like I would like to at some points, and then I go, no, I'm going to do the proper show. Or I read the articles like, this is really interesting. I can think of all these different ways to explore this idea. Or I love humor, so it's often, I got to include this story. I can go to this joke and that joke and this idea and then spring some weird, totally bizarre, but actually kind of, I think, intriguing idea on my listeners and see what they think of that.
Well, it all ties into the, I mean, this ties right into the
comedy work that you were doing. It all overlaps. The creative process is something that both energizes you and drains you at the same time.
Coming up with something
funny and entertaining under pressure right away, it can be exhilarating and very rewarding, particularly when it turns out great. But at the same time, it's just a draining thing, and that's part of the burnout that you were talking about earlier with the comedy thing.
Mm.
And when you go in and you've got, I nearly every day at work I go in with only one eye half open. but when you're talking about podcasts or you're talking about putting something together that's as creative as doing a show, once that minute hand hits that 12 or that, you know, the half hour and you get started, then it all kicks in and you just start feeding off of it.
I love when I have that passion for something. I know I will do it well, and I know I will just put myself right into it. I have that passion for programming. I love to write software. I don't know why. I think it's because I've always been like that ever since I was a kid, and I first was exposed to computers on a summer camp in intermediate school or something. And I was like, wow, I can do all this stuff with this. Cool. And then I got a Commodore 64 on my own. I was like, wow, I can do all this stuff at home. And it just continued on from there. So when I have a passion for something, I really, really do well at it. That's why I'm a little bit nervous about my PhD. I don't have the same kind of passion in this as I want to have. And it's been very much a struggle for me to find my passionate place in that, to find where I do derive the passion from it, to discover, to get back that zeal for doing what I'm doing every day.
Well, you're interested.
And once I have that...
Your interest in general science and the kind of stories that you sometimes cover, particularly on the digital front, which I guess you're pretty much placed to really be able to focus in on what's new and what's innovative and what's particularly interesting.
I have a hard time translating that into what I do in my PhD work, though. That's the really funny thing about all that is. My PhD work, for some reason, well, I think partially because my supervisor had certain things he was interested in doing and had certain expertise he could help me out with, and also some of the expertise I brought to the table as far as actual expertise, not just interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it went in a different direction, and I found an interesting, challenging, and I found a problem that made me angry, really. The whole core of my research stems from something called the Prisoner's Dilemma. I was studying artificial intelligence. And because that's always been a passion of mine as well. And one of the things in there was this whole notion of the prisoner's dilemma, which is you have two prisoners who don't communicate with each other. And it is in their best personal interests to not give out, not turn on the other guy. If they do that, they both have a small punishment, but they walk away and they not betrayed each other. It's better, however, they turn on the other guy, they'll get less of a punishment. The other guy will get more. If they both turn on the other guy, both of them get a bad deal. And the thing is, when we examine that argument from the artificial intelligence world, the so far undefeatable argument is the best thing you can do is to defect on the other guy, is to actually turn the other guy in. Because if you don't, and he does for you, you get the worst end of the draw. If you both defect, it's not nearly as bad as if you got the sucker's payoff. And that angered me. It's like, wait a minute, where's fairness in all this? Where's camaraderie and friendship and all this stuff? And, of course, that doesn't factor into it. It's a cold equation, as they say. It has no room for that sort of emotion. So that led me off in a whole direction of exploring how agents negotiate with each other, agents being software agents, if you will, software robots.
Hmm.
How they negotiate with each other, what factors come into this negotiation, what sense of fairness do they have, and things like that, and that's where I kind of got that anger and channeled it into this idea. But I'm kind of stalled a bit right now. But I'm trying hard. Am I boring you? You're falling asleep.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm what's interesting to me is this is the second time in the run of the show that the prisoner's dilemma. Oh, maybe that's not fair to say, because I don't think I actually went into it at all in any of the shows, but Jason Gadeski brought up that same idea, that same mental exercise of the prisoner dilemma, the isolated prisoners with those specific options.
And what I'm trying to, as I'm listening to you, I'm trying to think to myself, what context was that that related to that whole new fifth world element of, somehow it's supposed to tie into the collapse of civilization. I've got a dog barking in the background, and it has no, it just doesn't care that I'm doing a podcast here.
Well, you get dogs, I get cars. It's fair. We're even.
Yeah.
I think the reason it angered me is because, yeah, I do see that a lot in everyday civilization. I do see people kind of taking, they're afraid the other guy's going to turn on them, so they turn first. And yes, it turns out bad if everyone turns on everyone else. You know, the old, if you all do an eye for an eye, and everybody ends up with, you know, like no eyes and angry and
basically
bloody and kind of nervous. So that kind of bothers me too. It's like I want to see a way out of this sort of thing. Now, I'm not quite the philosopher I'd like to be for this. This is actually kind of interesting to me because there are not a lot of problems that I've run up against that I can't do something about. And that's something which is extremely frustrating and extremely challenging to me. Usually I have some way around it. I'm a decent arguer. I'm reasonably intelligent. I've got a fair amount of exposure to a whole lot of things. As the old saying goes, I am, how's the saying go? Oh.
Jack of all trades?
See, one of the problems is my memory. Yeah, I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. And my memory is a sieve, pardon me. I'd like to say, you know, my ego would love me to say something like, I've just absorbed so much, my brain can't handle it all. It has to leak out my ears because I just know too much.
Oversaturation.
Right, but the other part of my head are going, no, you're just forgetting things. You know, give up, you're actually human. Damn, I always tried to get away from that. I was trying to be better than human, but human failings are killing me here.
Maybe we can get some, maybe when they reverse engineer the brain, they'll actually be able to come up with some nano implants that allow total recall. I would like that.
I think in that little rant I put on the forum after I was listening to all this, actually at the time it was a lot of negative stuff about no, we shouldn't build robots and stuff like this, and kind of I reacted of course immediately and then regretted it because of course you guys kind of changed your tone and then the whole transhumanism thing came up, but the idea of augmented humanity to me is extremely useful, and in fact already here and already progressing very quickly into normal parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I look upon my PDA as an external memory, which I carry around that remembers the things I forget. The reason I have a PDA is I kept forgetting all the notepads I was writing stuff down in, so I have one device now I'll focus my attention on. And I use it that way. I've only recently got it, so I'm still adjusting to it. I'm also a gadget freak, so I had to get it. it's like, I don't care if it costs me, you know, $400. I can spend that. I don't need to do something. I'm sure there's something in the future I can sacrifice for this. I think I've sacrificed like 20 years of pay to something. But that's one of the reasons my credit card went up too much. That, and I kept forgetting to invoice the trips I was taking for my work. It's like, yeah, I'll just put it on my credit card. It's like a plane trip to California. Yeah, it's not so bad. And then, 2 weeks later, I forgot all about it, whatever, and paid off the, like, it was like $1,500 round trip or whatever.
Turning in receipts can, you know, that can be important.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't really care about money that much. I care enough to get my bills paid, most of them on time. But you know what? Money for me is just the currency I've earned to spend my life with fun. You know, I go bowling every Friday. This is something new I discovered after I spent some time in the hospital. Needed to find a new exercise, something for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bowling thing that the Graduate Students Association was on, and I haven't bowled in like 15 years, whatever. And so I thought, what the hell, I'll go. It's like, it was free for me, what the heck, I'll try it out. And it's like, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to go back. It's like, well, I could go on my own, but why don't I ask my friends if they want to go? And they're all like, well, I don't have any money, and well, I just got my computer, and I'm trying to pay it off, and like, screw it, I'll pay for it. I don't care. If you'll come with me, I'll pay for it. And so I've been buying bowling for like, you know, 3 or 4 months now. I don't care. You know, it's cost me, what, 30, 40 bucks for a couple hours of bowling, hanging out with friends. I love it. I have no problem with that.
It's a means to an end.
I've paid people's rent because they're friends of mine. I don't believe in those big, obtuse corporate. That's the wrong word. It's kind of an angry word, but the big charities and things. I know that they do good work, and I don't want them to discontinue. At the same time, the way I do my charity is all my friends. I make sure my friends are taken care of. If my friends have friends they need to be taken care of, I'll see what I can do. And that's the way I want to take care of. This is my family, if you will. If I have money, that's fine. If I don't have money, that's fine. I don't need money. I just use it. If I have it, I use it.
It's a tool.
Sure. I mean, I buy my gadgets. I bought a new TV this year, and I bought a laptop this year, and a PDA, and God, I bought way too much this year. But as I break down and realize I have a tech addiction, I can't help it. But I made sure that I had the margins to do that. I mean, it took me 4 months to buy the stupid PDA because I kept looking around. I was like, maybe I could buy that one. Yeah, but without this other one has features. What happens, blah, blah, blah.
Well, on the plus side, while you're doing all that research, the prices are dropping.
Well, actually, yeah, it dropped like $100 in the time I wanted it. And then, of course, it immediately went on sale again. That's the law of the universe. Anything bought for full price would go on sale the next day.
Yeah, the thing I used to tell people, people would come to me and say, what kind of PC should I get, this, that, and the other thing. And then they'd eventually buy the computer they were going to buy, and then I would tell them, now, absolutely, positively, you must not look at any ads for computers for the next year or so, because you're just going to get all depressed.
Well, I do feel some sympathy for the folks who bought an iPhone at full price, and then they dropped the price by $200 or $300, I think it was. And then they come out with one that's just like it, except it doesn't have that crazy iPhone and the tying back to AT&T, but it's just an iPhone without the phone part, which is what everybody wanted anyway. But I mean, whatever. I bought an iPod, I bought a MacBook. I bought them because I like the products. I like what they're doing. I am drooling over the 160 gig iPod, though. My music collection I have to keep buying new external drives to move my music collection to, because it outgrows one and goes, and I fill another one. So I just move it to a half a gig drive, and it's only about two thirds full. So that'll probably do me the rest of the year at least.
Well, I got most of what I have on regular. It's funny to say old. CDs.
Plain old CDs.
Plain old.
That old technology, does that still even work today? That
ancient, antiquated, compact disc thing they used to do.
Well, see, go ahead.
I'm waiting for the terabyte drive, or the terabyte cube, or whatever, that you can just,
Well, you can get them now. They're a little expensive.
I mean the size of the sugar cube that you just drop into a little slot.
Well, then I'd lose it somewhere. I've already lost way too many things. I don't want to lose something. It has to be big and bulky or I'm going to lose it. I still have. Actually, I just reminded myself. I have a USB key that a friend of mine gave me. He had transferred some documents over to me, and I still got it in my pocket. I forgot all about it. But I decided a few years ago that I was living in a small room. I was getting crowded. It's like, okay, I got to do something about this. What can I compress? And I looked at my music collection and said, look, all these CDs are just taking up space. You listen to them in electronic formats anyway. You don't even have a CD player anymore. Screw it. Rip them off of there and put them on your computer somehow. So I did that first. Along came iTunes a little while later. Made it a lot easier for me. So all my CDs are stored. In fact, I prefer to buy my music in electronic format. I don't even want to have the CD. I don't need atoms. I don't need them there. I have the music. That's what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's all kinds of music purists out there just cringing. It's like, electronic formats, they lose so much data, you're just going to be ruining your ears, and so on.
Nothing sounds as good as vinyl.
Exactly, and I will admit, there's something precious to those older formats. Analog format does have something to it, but you know what, my ears are getting worse anyway. By the time it really matters, I won't even notice. I'll just have to crank up the hits, and it's like, I remember when this song came out, Nirvana, such a nice, sweet, calm band. it'll be something like that someday, I'm sure.
Either that or it'll shift to the other spectrum, and kids will be driving their parents nuts with music from the hearts of space.
Oh, I love that show. I've bought a number of their albums. I can't hear them here. Unfortunately, we don't get the PBN radio here, unfortunately. I can get it over the internet, but it's different. But, I mean, this whole idea, this is part of the plans that I've had. It's like, how can I, you know, what can I leverage in the digital world to make things happen for me? What, you know, I did that with my music. I did that with my show. Now it's all digital. I print off an index page because it's easier to highlight an index page and pick out themes and stuff. But only one page. I even do it two up. You know, the first two pages of the index, I do one page. I'm doing that now with my books. Since I bought this PDA, I'm looking at it now. It's about the right size, a little smaller than a paper book, or paperback, I should say. And I thought, okay, let's see if I can get some books on there. So I've got a book reader on there. I've started to read a few books that way. Sure. It's a little bit cramped. And I got to say, I love paperback books. I own a lot of paperback books. Collecting hobbies, and one of my biggest hobbies is reading, and so I have a lot of books that I have not read, and when I go and see books that I want to buy and I want to read them, I buy them, and then they sit on the shelf and gather dust until I, you know, eventually retire, and then I know everything at that point because I'll just go through the reading blitz. But
doesn't everybody have that vision? I could be wrong here, but doesn't everybody have that vision of, okay, well, I've got this now, and one day, when I'm, you know, when I don't have to do anything at all, I'll be able to go through all this stuff at my leisure, over the course of many years, and just be in my own personal nirvana because of all this stuff I have.
Well, hence why I have 3,846 unlistened episodes of podcasts, and
no.
I have a music collection comprising. I think it says. I think that's 2 weeks, 22 hours, 27 minutes, 27 seconds total time in my music collection. If I want to listen, I have got pieces in my music collection that I have never listened to, and I have bought the album, but I've listened to one track and haven't been able to get back to it. It's one of the reasons I love doing the show, the music show every week, is I get to listen to this music that I've only heard bits and pieces of.
There you go.
And so I play it out long form. It's like, wow, this is a pretty good piece. I guess I'll throw it out in the show. Actually, I collected together the music for the show, and I did this kind of as a test. I have a playlist, and I've collected together shows from starting in, the sixth month of, it'll be July. I forget which numbers go with which. July of 2006, anyway. Mm-hmm. So I've got all my playlists in iTunes, and I eliminate from my master playlist things I've already played in these playlists. So that means that I have this list called Not Played on Cappuccino. It means all the music that I have not played that I have in my collection that is marked as playable for the show. And I look at this playlist, and there are currently 2,526 songs.
Hello? Hello? Oh, dear. Hello? Uh-oh.
So the universe is trying to tell me that I speak too much. And I myself are one big source of too much media.
Oh man, folks, we just got. I saw a call dropped on my screen here. Yeah, we had our little technical difficulties. Skype spares no one.
No, and that's something I've learned from Skype. I do another podcast where we get together over Skype and. We record about 45 minutes to an hour, and more than once there were some interesting problems.
People should know about that other podcast. What is it called?
That is the Ninth Heroes Cast.
Oh.
That's available at heroescast.com.
Oh, cool.
And that's a show dedicated to the television show Heroes. So I still watch some television, despite all the non-time I have from all my other media. And
this is the kind of promotional stuff that...
That I suck at, yes.
I wasn't going to say that. What I was going to say is people that, you know, people need to know, and they'll find out by being told, you know, that kind of thing.
But, yeah, I've never been very good at self-promotion because your super ego, whatever it is, that little voice in the back of my head saying, you know, you're not supposed to be talking about yourself so much. Don't be so conceited. So I try to be very modest, and unfortunately, when you're trying to be modest and doing promotion, it really doesn't work all that well.
No.
I just got posters up for my show at the radio station, which I've been doing for about well, whatever, 8-9 years. I got them up about a month ago to promote my own show at the radio station I've been doing, and I'm the spoken word coordinator.
Okay.
And I'm also on the programming committee. I'm supposed to be the person actually, and I encourage everybody to do it. I just don't do it myself. I've only recorded one promo for my show, and that was the one saying that I'm not dead. I'm actually coming back. Because I apparently gave that mistaken impression.
I feel happy.
I was texting Craig Stepp from Technorama, another good podcast, and I said, yeah, I'm going to be starting my show in a couple of weeks. And he said, oh, great, good new episodes. I was concerned there for a while. I was like, why? I said I was coming back. And he said, well, it didn't quite sound like that. You should probably put out a promo to let people that know that you're coming back. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I should.
Promos are a good thing.
Yeah, and it's part of the whole podcasting thing, too. I mean, I've been kind of dancing around the idea. Part of the reason I don't do promos is I really don't know if anybody should be listening to my show. I really think there's probably much better things to listen to out there. And this is from a guy who listens to a lot of shows, so I know there's better things out there.
You're talking crazy talk.
Usually, that's why I do a show.
That's great. No, people should be listening to your show. It's very entertaining. It's very interesting, and I've already gone over it in IDDFOS. I'm jealous of your show.
Oh, I know, and every time you do that, I cringe a bit. It's like, oh no, he likes the show.
I must be doing something weird.
You
zero in on stuff that people that would be listening to the type of show I do and the type of show you do in general, you know, they'll gather a bunch of them like that together and listen because they're interested, because they cover the same niche of entertainment or news that you find interesting that I find interesting. So, yeah, people should be listening to it.
And that's the whole crux of the show for me, is that I do this because I find it interesting. I'm not just doing it because I feel it's a service. I'm not just doing this because I'm trying to satisfy someone else. I love doing it.
Yeah.
I love finding this stuff out. I love making these jokes. People have always said that I'm decent at making jokes, so why not use that? Why not see if I can do it in this strange capacity, even though I have sometimes no energy for it. It's like, and the jokes are really bad most of the time, too.
Who cares?
I love puns. But
who cares?
Yeah, true. Well, I do to some degree. I'm walking this weird fence. On the one hand, I don't want to promote my show because I'm not sure if it's good enough. On the other hand, it's like, I don't want to promote my show because other people will listen to it and tell me it's not good enough. And then you go on about it in your show, and I'm thinking, oh no, man, did I send him drugs? What the hell did happen to him? I don't remember making any major donations to anybody recently, but maybe if I give up my credit card, I don't know what's going on.
Don't be crazy. Don't be crazy. People, listen to this show. Listen to the weird show. Please.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they should listen to that. And, okay, I should probably – see, now I'm going, you know, all these other things I do, I should probably mention those too.
This is your forum.
Oh, that's a bad – I'm kind of nervous on stage. I don't know if people are looking at me. I am – or people will be listening to me. People have said I have a decent enough voice. I like to goof off.
That's
I am a gamer.
That's an understatement, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. And I love drama. So I have recently made forays into seeing if I can get back into this whole thing. I'm going to start promoting it more at the radio station as well. But I recently joined Darker Projects, which is a very good audio company. I was really nervous about doing that because they're really good and I'm not. But I joined up and I've been watching their mailing list go by, their email list, and seeing all these calls for auditions. So I recently sent in an audition and was recently cast in a new upcoming audio production due sometime, I think, at the end of October. And I'm recording, I've got lines for the first episode now to do. The project is called Blood Moon. It's supposed to be for their new darker Halloween horror series, I guess. It's a mini series of 13 episodes for the first season. There may be a second season.
You said the company is Darker. I'm sorry, Darker.
World. Darker Projects.
Darker Projects. All right.
And if you go to darkerprojects.com, I don't think they have any information about the show up yet because it's very early in the production. But I'm very proud of this, and I'm telling all my friends at the same time. I don't really want to tell them where to go because if it really sucks, I don't want them to find out. But I was cast as two roles. I think one of them is recurring. One is the main character.
Oh, good deal.
And the other one is a character I know is prominent in the first episode, maybe showing up later. I'm not sure. because it's based on the location they're at. They're actually set in, well, I don't want to give too much away, but I can say it's set, that part's set in Quebec, because the interesting story is I have to do a Quebec French accent. So I kind of send in my audition for that and the other role, thinking, well, if one of them sucks, maybe they'll think the other one isn't so bad. And then they went, hey, these aren't bad. You get both roles. Oh, great.
Surprise.
So I have to play two people in the same scene talking to each other. One of them has a Californian accent, or sort of basic American accent, which I've been told if I try, I can do fairly well, because I have a fairly neutral accent. And the other one is, he is an old guy from Quebec, and he speak very different from everyone else. Now, that's my sort of my contemporary accent. I have to make it older than that, so... He is the old guy from Quebec. He speak with his own word and use whatever word he wished. You know, that kind of thing. So that will be interesting to see how bad that is. Now that I've done this in public, it'll be recorded and it'll be over the air and be like, oh, that sounded terrible. But I've got another week to put that one together. So I may actually record the other lines tonight. I'm not sure, depending on time. I may do it tomorrow. But so, yeah, that's kind of exciting. I've been wanting to get back into audio drama for a while. People have been encouraging me to do it, and I've been thinking about it. I've actually gone so far as to, you know, get the audition materials and kind of look at it and go, I don't know, can I deliver this line convincingly, you know, and trying to make it sound like I'm really somebody else. And I've gone, no, I'm not that person, so I can't do that one. But this one came along, and I said, what the hell? If I'm ever going to do it, I might as well use the fact that I actually do speak French, although it's pretty weak these days, that I am, you know, the next door neighbor to Quebec. I've been there. I people have said that when I do speak French, I have a fairly reasonable accent. So I understand that part of the vocal language very well. And,
oh, that's very cool.
What the hell, right? You know, I'm inspired.
Fun.
It is fun. It is fun. And I'm inspired by this strange guy who works in a prop warehouse, who does these little weird sketches that are just hilarious and well produced. And so, I can blame him. That's it. I'll blame him, whoever that person.
I'll accept whatever responsibility you want to put. That's fine. I do know about playing two different characters in the same scene.
Yeah. Well, the strangest part about this is I have to play the guy the guy with the Californian accent says a line in French badly. So here I am, not only struggling with these two, now I have to make the one who doesn't speak French speak French badly and make it sound different from my speaking French badly.
A challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. But, you know, I thrive on these things. Like I said before, when I find something I'm passionate about, I love the challenge, and I will do it, and I will hopefully succeed.
Oh, good deal.
And we'll see how this goes. So maybe I'll be in, you know, the way do you say it, the star? Oh, man, I've never been the star of anything. I don't believe in being the star. But a very central role in an upcoming audio series that may have a second season. Apparently the author's still working on that. So I'm really pumped about that. I put that on my blog, and I put that on my live journal and my Facebook. What the hell is with all these social mediums? And why do I have friends in all of them? Damn it. Why can't they all go in one place? Anyway,
yeah.
And why does everybody have to have a forum? Even I have a forum. Why do I have, I don't even go to my own forum. You put something on my forum and I didn't even reply to it for like 2 months. And I put the forum up. I thought I might as well give people the opportunity to find a way to find feedback to me. And so far, nobody's bothered except, I guess, you put on a couple things. A friend of mine put on some things. I've gotten some nice email where people have said, "Look, I'm a busy guy. I do this commute." It was one guy. "I do this commute. I put your show on. It's great. It fills that hour I have driving." It's like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love to hear that. And my ego now pipes up and says, and that's just one of your many legions of silent fans. And then again, I look at my download stats. And
I'm sorry.
I don't want to hurt you here.
No.
I know from my download stats, my legions is, well, it's a centurion at best. It's not a legion. I get about 100 downloads of my show pretty consistently. Although I got to say, as time goes on, and I look at my stats for older episodes, they keep creeping up because, of course, new people come in, they sample an episode,
yeah,
and they say, "Hey, what is this crap?" and go away. So, but a lot of people kind of find different episodes to find the crap in, so it kind of evens out, so they just creep upward. Except episode number four, I think it was, I think that's the number, CFDUP. I was so dry on any idea what the hell to put all these stories together, because part of the challenge for me is I find all these stories and I try to find two or three themes. And I wrap and twist and distort and warp and shove and mangle and spindle and punch holes in stories until they fit within those themes.
Okay.
And that episode, I was completely at a loss. I said, what the hell do these stories have nothing to do with each other? Until I came up with a theme. There were five parts to the show. One part, all the stories had something to do with C. Another part, they all had something to do with F, then D, then U, then P. That was the only theme to the show. But I look back on the stats, and that's got like 600 downloads. I suspect because people have no idea what the heck that title really means. Or it has some associated acronym that I don't know about, which is probably completely, you know, either asinine or I'm offending people everywhere. I don't know. But
all right, now I got to go back and if I haven't heard that one already, I certainly got to check it out. That'll be one more number.
Yeah, a lot of people, and you do this too, a lot of podcasters say, oh, don't go listen to those old episodes. They really suck. And I just say, yeah, they're all pretty much the same.
Hello? Oh, man. Oh, this is... Hello?
Hello, 2 and 5. Are you receiving my signal?
Receiving you.
I call you from the other side.
Receiving you 5x5.
I've only got a 4x4. Or 2x4. That's generally useful.
How useful is a 2x4 in the afterlife?
Wow, these are really hard questions you asked. Doggone it.
That'll be the subject for episode 46. How useful is a 2x4 in the afterlife? That you know what? All right, folks. First of all, Skype did it to us again. We got cut off or some kind of.
Actually, I got cut off. You were perfect. I was hearing you laughing, but I couldn't actually get you to. I couldn't actually hear me. So
it was weird.
You were hearing my typing, which was yeah.
Not a bad segue, anyway. We were a segue into the weird. A segue into the unusual.
Into my terribly named show, as you keep calling it.
I don't know that it's terribly named, but I got to be honest with you. When I first saw the weird show, it's just the impression thing. It's the first impressions. I saw the weird show, and I thought, well, what's this going to be? Is this going to be like...
it's pretty weird.
You know, is this going to be like Weekly World News or National Enquirer or something like that?
Well, I got to say I'm somewhat inspired by it, though. I'm really saddened, too, by the death of the Weekly World News. It closed down. They closed it down. Bat Boy has to find a job.
Oh no.
I didn't take it even seriously, but it was the best creative journalism I've seen in a long time. You know, it was a great source of fiction.
Isn't that like an oxymoron, creative journalism? Precisely describes what you're talking about?
Well, maybe it's redundant. Maybe I don't know. But I mean, that's what it was. It was fictional news reporting, but it was fictional news reporting with an eye towards humor and stuff. And I've always admired that. I try not to do that. I mean, when I look at the stories that I put up on my show, I try to take a close look at them and go, okay, if I were to hear this, would I think it was someone spouting a rumor? Would I think it was just a story of a friend of a friend? And when I'm getting to those stories that I still want to cover that are like that, I try to caution them a little bit and say, look, I'm not really sure about the source, but we're going to go forward and at least take something out of the story, if not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to take something out of it at all. No, the name. Well, I told you already, the original name of the show was Espresso, which fit perfectly for me being the encaffeinated one doing 2 hours of caffeine.
Yeah, particularly 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to make a podcast of this crazy thing. What the hell am I going to do? Well, I could call it Espresso, but who the hell is going to get that idea? Okay, I'm going to give it another name. What other name am I going to use? I don't know. I'm dumb today. Let's choose a simple name. And so I was like, okay, what kind of simple name can I have? Well, I don't know. I need something that people can probably spell. Now, that turned in retrospect to be a bad idea because I misspell weird all the time. So I suspect everybody else does too. And then I chose my site name, Encaffeinated. Nobody can spell that either. So, two double goofs on that one. But
I don't know that they're goofs. I mean, it's again, it has to do with that promotional thing. It has to do with the more people that listen to the show, the more they understand just how good it is and what it is and what it isn't and who they would recommend it to, you know?
But nobody eats broccoli on a recommendation. They eat it because they happen to or they have to, right? And it may be good for them, but they won't eat it unless they have to. So it's overcoming that.
And I'm not one to talk about the title of anybody else's show. I mean, you know, come on, International Dragons from Outer Space.
That's okay. That's... You'll eventually explain where that name came from.
Next episode. Absolutely.
Exactly. It always is.
Wasted tape.
Remember that old Jimmy Stewart movie? It's a Wonderful Life? They don't make movies like that anymore. I wonder what it would be like if they did.
Now you listen to me, Potter. My father built this savings and loan. You hardly did a thing. That's why we've decided that you're the weakest link. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Nope, sorry, that's it. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You're 1M short of a Mormon, Potter. Get out.
Okay, we gotta do something about the promo situation.
Agreed. That first announcement was abysmal. Geeky gaming goodness, indeed. Even I'm not that big of a hack.
Don't sell yourself short.
Thanks, I think.
But you are all correct. If we are going to entice people into listening to the Wandering Geek podcast, we need to put out something that will grab the listeners.
But we're just voices in Kurt the camera guy's head. What can we do? I've got it. We can come to him in a dream. It always worked in the plays of...
Don't say it.
Don't you two get started again. Well, what should we have him say?
The feature needs prominent placement. That's where he shares ways for travelers to get their geek on and interviews those people who make it possible.
The DVD news is the thing. How do I love the deleted scenes? Don't forget the MMO report. Free trials, free MMOs, and news stories, too.
And there's listener emails, the geek buzz, and skid marks to boot. He fits it all into 74 minutes. Maybe he really is messed up in the head.
Our being here would seem to make that self-evident. But he obviously can't make a decent promotional piece without us. So tonight, we use William's plan to catch him while he's sleeping.
Oh, hey, fellas. What you up to?
Oh,
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing
at all.
I just came in to grab the laptop and recording stuff. I was going to record a new promo, but I don't have any good ideas. Maybe I should just say something like, The Wandering Geek Podcast. How do you get your geek on? And then something like, You can find it at http://wanderinggeek.podbean.com or on iTunes. Just search for Wandering Geek. Oh, I don't know. I'll think of something.
I told you he needs us.
I'm not one to talk about the title of anybody else's show. I mean, you know, come on, International Dragons from Outer Space.
That's okay. That's... You'll eventually explain where that name came from.
Next episode. Absolutely.
Exactly. It always is. So
that doesn't give an impression of anything.
That's true. And I got to admit, I actually subscribed to your show at one point, listened to part of an episode, had no context for what I was listening to, and kind of went, oh, that's just kind of weird. I've got to call my podcast somewhere. And unfortunately, the first time that went off the list. And then one of the listeners of the ninth, I got talking to her, and that was the person enigmatically known as Claire Bennett.
She's on our forum.
I think is a real name. Oh, I shouldn't have given that out. Sorry. I won't give them out your home address.
That's okay.
Not that I know it anyway, officially. I don't know
it. That won't make it in the edit. I'll just take it out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You edit these things. Okay.
Yeah.
So she made a recommendation. Actually, we get talking over Twitter. I don't know if that, yet another friggin' social network. My God, I'm addicted to these crappy things. Anyway, she got talking over there. It's like, I think it was over that or chat or something. Oh, God, I've got four chat clients, everything open here. Anyway, she started going on, what podcast do you listen to? Because, you know, I happen to say, you know, I guess somewhat facetiously, well, I happen to be listening to everything that's out there. And she's a gamer, and she was like listening, well, do you have this one? Yeah, I get that one. You have this one. Listening for 50 episodes. Yeah, I get that one. How about this one? Yeah, I gave it a try. It wasn't quite what I wanted. And then yours came up. It's like, well, I don't even know what the hell this is. And it's like, well, she says it's kind of like it's not a gaming podcast, but he does mention gaming. And it's like, okay, whatever. I'll give it a second. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I did try this. I had no idea what it was about. And then I listened to the episode that the newest one at that point, which I think was like 36 or something. And I listened to a little bit. You know what? This is kind of interesting. So I went back to the first episode. And I got to say, those first few episodes, they were a bit rough for you, but they're really actually a treat in some ways to listen to, because you were still finding your way. You had the trucks to contend with and all these other things. But you were really, and you still are, but I think in those ones especially, you kind of exploded. And you were doing this kind of just getting this off your chest, getting these ideas out there. You were like everyone else. You were just this guy who had these thoughts and he wanted to express them and he wondered if anybody else was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I am thinking the same thing. And yeah, that is kind of weird. And damn, that truck really is loud. and then I got really self-conscious because I have trucks occasionally, you know, traveling by me in the windows and I hate to edit. So it's like, do they hear that? I think I've got a good microphone. They don't hear it so much anymore, but. No, but I mean, I listened to the show and it's like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. And then started getting into it. It's like, oh yeah, okay. And then I sent you that email. It's like, you know, I got recommended by this person, as I always like to give credit. And it's like, I'm going to be listening to you. It probably sounded pretty threatening. I'm going to be paying attention to you. So you better keep these shows going.
I'm going to be watching you.
That's right. I know where you podcast. And so I started listening, and it's like it became addictive because it was like, oh, wow, these are getting good. And it's like I wanted to participate. And I know you say this. I know you say this a lot. It's like any past episode, anything you want to comment on, go for it. And I appreciate that freedom you're trying to give out. At the same time, it's like, yeah, but you know what? I'm really far behind. And I'll just tell them that I'm listening, and I'll catch up and talk then. And I kind of went through that, and of course I was speaking back to my iPod a lot. This is kind of a bizarre experience, and I think it was in one of the last one, or maybe even the last two Skype chats. They said the same thing. It's like, wow, he's talking back to me. Actually, I think all the way back to the first one with Nev and Sarah.
Yeah.
I say their names like I know them. I've listened to their podcast. I appreciated it. I only caught the end of it, unfortunately. But I don't know these people, but I listen to them, and that makes me somewhat like a person like that knows them.
You get to know these people.
Well, and again, that's the kind of, the interactive aspect of this whole media is that you do feel that you have somewhat more interaction, even if you've never sent anything into them. Mm-hmm. I've never sent anything to Chuck and Lonnie, but I consider them to be kind of like those great friends of mine that come by and chat about games. They don't know me from a hole in the ground. They don't know me at all, unless they're subscribed to my show. And if they are, well, hi guys, send me an email. I'd love to know that famous people like you are listening to my show. Because I consider them to be somewhat famous. They have a very big podcast.
Oh yeah, they've got a very very large listener base. But yeah, any of these podcasts that you listen to, especially the ones on a regular basis, they become personalities that are a part of your life, as if they are people that you know. And what that was strange in any Skype chat. This one's strange too. It's like, you know, direct interaction, immediately real time.
Well, if I'm involved, it's guaranteed to be strange and or weird. But
there
that's
we
just me. Actually, that was the other thing too. That's why I'm a member of the Ninth Heroes cast. Is I listened to the show. I watched the television show. I loved it. I went, okay, there must be a podcast about this. And I found that one. It's like, oh, this is Miranda. This is Miranda, who's from The Signal, another podcast to listen to. Actually, Firefly Talk is hers, but mm-hmm. She also appears in The Signal. Those are for Firefly. Firefly? Blah. Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
I speak for fun. I did. And it's like, okay, well, I know what work she does. She's really good at what she does. And I'll start listening to this one. It's like, oh, this is really cool. Oh, they got a forum. Now, I like to get involved in forums. I don't have a lot of time to, but I got involved on this one. I started posting more and more. And then they read one of my answers on the show. I was like, from the Encaffeinated One. It's like, ooh, this is cool. Actually, that's happened to me a couple of times. And at one point, I said, I'm going to see how many times I get my name on these different shows. Like, it happened with Coverville, one of the like I said, that was one of the first shows I listened to. And I sent an email saying, I've got all these great covers and stuff on my show. I wanted to say, can you play one of them? And he read the email. And
oh, bummer. I lost your audio again. Skype is peeing on us from Olympic Heights.
Hello?
Hello. Skype just does not like us tonight.
So I got to say, and I'm hoping that NM5 doesn't edit this part out, that was the most brilliant thing I've ever heard two people say in my entire life, and I really hope that makes the show, because it will never be repeated again, and I've already forgotten it. So, I mean, if you don't hear that, folks, I'm sorry you've missed out on the most important moment of your entire lives. But don't worry, there'll be another one. It just won't be nearly as important.
It may be during the next century, I think.
Yeah, if you're still alive in the next century, you've already had the best moments of your life.
That's right. You're a construct. You're a Kurzweil nightmare.
Well, in that case, you can get podcasts directly. You know, No intermediate at all.
That's right. Just walk up to the nearest thing and plug your finger in. And
cool. I'm tickling someone's brain at this very moment with my words. It's great. It's like tonguing someone's brain.
That sounds wrong. That sounds so wrong. Did I lose your audio again? I think I lost your audio again. Aw, damn it. What is up with this? This is no fair. Wow, that was a good bucket of rubber balls bouncing down the road. I like that one. That was good.
Oh, yeah. You call yourself a master of a tangent. I think you've met one of your considerable, I won't say equals, that's being too immodest, but certainly someone contending for your crown. Peers.
Whatever.
Definitely.
What he do, I do same.
Well, it's the thing. It's the thing again with having so many interests, and my mind goes in so many different directions. And I mean, I find so many things fascinating. That's one of the reasons the show is so much fun to do, is because I get to do all the stuff. And I found that when I took those 4 weeks off, I didn't look at all that stuff. I didn't have that incentive, and I kind of missed it. And when I got back, I was like, ooh, what happened? What happened? And nobody else was telling me all this stuff.
It turned out quite a bit had happened.
Well, yeah.
When you were, yeah.
Although I kind of didn't go back and cover all that material. I just didn't have time. But the thing is, and that's one of the reasons I keep doing the show, is if I don't do it, who else is? There's other shows, which are interview shows, which talk directly to people. There's the Big Issue shows. There's supernatural shows focused on one element, or there's, you know, this or that. But I still feel that there's some place that my show fits that isn't the same as all those other shows. Until I find another show which is like mine but better, and then I can quit. And I'll bow down to them and kiss their shoes and wash their fish.
I'd like to find another show that's two or three other shows that are like yours and listen to all of them, because like you, I don't think anybody else is quite doing. Is quite doing what the Weird Show does.
Well,
or if they are, then I don't know about them, and I'm not able to find them. But
well, that's another thing too. Is with podcasting, you end up with a lot more niche podcasts, or podcasts which fill their own particular role.
Mm.
You can't do that on television. You can't do that much on radio. This is not the 500 channel universe. This is the 5 million channel universe. But what's better about it is all the channels are easier to find. They're easier to interact with. Cable is stuck in time. If you didn't tune in at 8 o'clock, you missed it.
Yeah.
It's not on your schedule.
And you also have to go out and find your, if you're cable or if you're broadcast television, you have to go out and find your audience. If you're a niche and you're covering a specific topic or a specific interest, your audience is coming to find you.
Well, I mean, there was some boom in community television for a while there, because a lot of communities were encouraged, I think actually regulated, to have community television. I don't think they're so regulated to do that anymore, because I don't see that happening anymore. There is still community television here. I never watch it because it's not very well produced, but it's also not very good. People are they're trying to do the well-produced shows. If they took the podcasting approach, which was do what you're passionate about, they would do so much better.
Yeah.
We have a small market here too, so it's only like 40,000 people in this city, and that's a big city for New Brunswick. So I mean, everything kind of gets reduced as well. There's not as much. If they were broadcasting over the internet, they'd probably find an audience. I can't get an audience big enough necessarily in the city, but I can certainly try over the internet.
Yeah, you got the whole world to talk to.
I don't want the whole world. I want the people who are like me.
I want the whole world. excuse me.
What would I do with the whole world?
Where are my pills?
I just have more stuff to store then.
Where would you put it?
I can't even find the stuff I have now.
I get scared when I think about all the stuff that I've accumulated. I don't know. Do you recall the Labyrinth? Film with David Bowie.
Yeah.
There's the one particular scene where she's he gets her to eat some kind of a peach, makes her fall asleep. It's at the tail end of some masquerade party, whatever. She falls down into this garbage heap.
Okay. I'm barely remembering this film, but
yeah,
I will follow along as if
she falls down to this garbage heap, and this garbage heap moves, and the lady turns around. Turns out to be this lady with all this stuff on her back, and leads her into the duplicate of her room at home. So in her dream, this lady is taking her to her room at home, and she's trying to find something because the peach has made her forget and whatever. The lady keeps bringing her all these different little things that she has, like her pencil box and her doll and her this, that, and the, all this stuff. And you see that she's starting to build this giant mountain of crap on the girl's back, the same way that this, you know, mound trash heap creature has.
Yep.
It's like, you know, sleep next to this pod, you'll be fine. And as if that was what all of her life was supposed to be about, was gathering all these things. And I look around and I think, how much crap am I gluing to my back?
Yeah. Well, see, for me, almost everything I own represents something I want to do. Either it's a book I want to read, a hobby I want to try out, a game I want to play, whatever. So I don't feel too bad about them. I do feel bad when I haven't gotten back to them. And I am glad that my mother has a house and it can store my stuff.
Oh, that's a plus.
Because I still have my old room in my mother's house, except I've taken out the bed, the drawers, everything else is just storing stuff. I have like four big tubs full of soft cover books that I haven't had a chance to get to yet. And that's not counting the two I have here. And I can understand. I see a lot of people are like that. They accumulate stuff. And I know I've got some stuff like that. We all do. But and I think that was a very good commentary on you know, viewing your life and the stuff you have. To me, I bought a bigger TV because I wanted to play World of Warcraft on a big screen and watch movies and invite friends.
Oh, I hate you. Yeah. You've got big screen. Well, of course you would. You're
I'm a total geek. I bought a 36
I forgot who
TV.
I was talking to. Oh, that is so cool.
And I have not had a DVD player or anything for a while. I bought a PC for my living room, so it's all connected up there. So if I want to watch a movie, I stick it in the PC. If I want to watch TV, I use the PC. And if I want to play World of Warcraft, I use that as well. That was a real kind of. That was my taxes coming back and going, I don't need this money right now. I can buy a TV. And I got it on sale, too, so it was kind of nice. But, yeah. But, I mean, I have that, but it was a purpose. It was the reason I wanted it. One of the reasons I wanted it is I wanted to invite friends over to watch movies, and I do that.
That's cool, too. But, of course, what I fixate on is the fact that you're able to get WoW Play on a large screen.
It is pretty sweet. I won't lie. But, of course, before that, I was playing it on my 19-inch widescreen, or the 22-inch widescreen. They've now merged in the same machine now, so I have a 19 and 22 together for my desktop. I love having lots of desk space. That's because I have killed so many machines by running too many applications at the same time. This theme runs throughout my entire life, everything I do. I want a bigger iPod because I can't store enough music and podcasts on it at one time. You know, it's just, I don't know.
I guess you're going to need to start up a new podcast now, The Multitasking Lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, that would be ironic.
I'm very jealous. I'm jealous of your TV. I'm also very generous, generous with other people's time.
Yes, thank you. Fortunately, I have reached a level where I have to say no to some things. I've been the spoken word coordinator at the radio station for the last year, but I really haven't done much with it. It was more of, if anyone has an issue, they can come to me and I'll try to do something. Nobody's had an issue. In this coming year, though, I'm going to try to take a more active role and actively seek out people who want to do audio drama, who want to do that sort of thing, who want to do a show like mine, whatever, but on their own topic. I want to see people want to do interviews. Not that I've done a lot of interviews, but I've done a few. I want to see if, and I'm also bringing audio drama to the station as well. The podcast, the Sonic Society, I just mentioned a while ago, you know, 3 hours ago, that is coming to our station. So we'll be able to play that on the radio too. And I'm really excited about that.
That's an interesting thing. A podcast that's going to go to traditional radio
Well, it actually was a traditional radio show, but then they turned into a podcast as well, and they have actually two versions of the show.
Oh, okay, okay.
But there is a radio station in California. I'm not sure where, but that's what it does, is it plays nothing but podcasts.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, it had to happen at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how successful it is, and it is an interesting idea. Actually, I've been thinking, I guess I talked a bit about disconnecting myself from the schedule of someone else. The trouble is I have to replace that with a schedule of my own, and I don't have that right now. I have a few rituals in when I play things. There's certain shows I love to listen to in the morning, certain shows I know that after I've done this, I can start watching my video podcasts. But I'd like to associate specific times with a show and then go, okay, it's 10 o'clock, it's time to turn on this show. And build my own schedule. More flexible, obviously, but at the same time, something I can give more structure to my life with.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've destroyed the structure that I was living under, I have to rebuild it now for myself. Again, finding solutions for you that work for yourself is a big part of what I like to say.
And a series of solvable problems beat being totally overwhelmed by.
Yeah. I have to find some way of watching all or listening to all 3,800 episodes.
Maybe if you speeded them up.
Oh, I don't think I could. It's funny listening to the old-time radio podcasts. I listened to about two or three of those. And some of those, you know, the recording quality was a bit off because it's like a 25-minute episode, but it probably was meant to be 30.
Yeah.
And everything's slightly, not a lot, but slightly off. And then I wonder, did they listen to it that way the first time?
I would tend to doubt it. I don't think that's how it was broadcast. I mean, I think that the very same effect you're talking about applies to the Lux Radio Theater edition of Our Town that I just made one of the featured downloads, because I'm listening to it and I'm thinking to myself, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized that it was just slightly kicked up in speed. Everybody sounds like they're on a tape player that's playing like two steps higher than it should be.
Yeah, not quite the level of Chipmunk Rant, but not quite the level of Buddhist Monk either.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. I have another anger with you, because every time you introduce one of those episodes, it's like, I want to go download that. It's like, no, you have three other podcasts full of OTR. You haven't listen to yet. Just because you recommend it doesn't mean you have to do it right now. And then I kind of chastise myself and walk over in a corner.
I'm proud to be an old-time radio pusher.
I love the stuff. I really do. And I think more people... I think one of my hopes is that podcasting will revive that in a more general way, is that people will realize that this sort of thing can be done, was done, and should be listened to again. And there's not nearly enough audio drama on radio at all.
No. And CBC. It can be done well, too, for very little money.
Oh, yeah. CBC is producing, or has a series on right now called Afghanida, which is all about a squadron of soldiers. Squadron? I don't know. A bunch of soldiers who are a Canadian unit in Afghanistan. And it's a very gritty series. But it's very well produced, and I'm loving the series. And they have the second season just started. They used to have a program on Saturday nights called, I just forget the name. How does that happen? Anyway, it was a program, it was all audio drama. Most often it was mysteries, too, which were always very fun. They were extremely well produced. And I always remember the guy who introduced it, Bob Bovin, because he'd always start the show, "Hey, gang." And I loved that. It was like, cool, he's letting me in on the show. I was like, "Hey, gang." And I've done that before, and I love that kind of, and I think that was what what led to the years of vocal coaching I must have done to get my voice much the same as his. Because all I wanted to do for so many years was say, "Hey, gang," and now I can do it.
So you went for formal training broadcasting or media or anything like that? Oh, you were kidding.
I'm just joking. I am an absolute amateur. I have no training whatsoever other than a bunch of hours behind the mic.
I'm the most gullible person on earth. I believe damn near anything. It doesn't matter what you tell me. I'll believe it. I don't care.
I'm the opposite. I don't believe anything.
Good. That can be handy.
I don't even believe that either. I have faith that I don't believe anything, but I'm skeptical.
I'm spent. I'm dry. I'm completely.
The limit, have we?
I'm completely. I'm like. yeah, it's just it was an early morning today too, but I'm
got up
exceptionally. Damn.
Because I had to get to the station. I get up by 6. I go to get my bagel at 7, and I'm over at the station by 7:30. And I was working on the show late last night till about 1:30.
See, to me, that on a Saturday, that's like committing some kind of a universal sacrilege. That's that in violation of all the basic codes of weekendness.
Saturday is my longest day by far.
Man,
almost always.
I got to tell you, I'm extremely glad that we were able to hook up, and despite the attempts by Skype to shut us down, it failed.
Yes,
and we continued to have our fun.
The aliens will not win today.
No, we triumph, and we absolutely have to do this again because there's so many other things that we didn't cover.
Yeah, you'll call me up next time. It's like, so what's new? Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
got the car painted. It rained.
It rained.
Yeah.
Actually, it rained very heavily today. What's up with that? It rains only like this huge bucketing thing at once. You get that down there?
I'm used to it in I was used to it when I was visiting in Florida, because they had that like clockwork in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that
but
was so
down
bizarre.
Here, we would drive through it. I mean, here in Jersey, it would be like you could be 10 or 15 miles north, and it's a completely dry ground, and then just continue south, and all of a sudden you're driving into this torrential thunderstorm.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not that old, but I don't remember being that way, all the time.
It used to be, there used to be a little bit more of a steadiness to it, increase and decrease.
I can remember where it rained for 2 or 3 days, but it was just a calm, simple rain. It wasn't, oh my God, it's hurting my brain because it's pounding through my skull.
Really? Yeah.
That's the environment always. I mean, anybody who says that the environment isn't changing, first of all, is a fool. I don't know if necessarily global warming is absolutely the cause, but anybody who says we didn't do something to the world with all the crap we've been doing for so long is also, I think, a fool.
We have like to have had some kind of impact.
I only had a little bit of a pee. How could it affect the whole pool?
There's that. That's one topic that we didn't go into. There's oh man, you're right. I should have had notes. I don't think it would have mattered, but
but at least you have something. As a friend of mine used to say, you have to have a plan because only then can you deviate from it.
There. Once you have the plan, then and once things get going, then you can destroy the plan and throw it away and go on to what's really happening.
Of course, I think it was also, was it Douglas Adams or Scott Adams? I always forget which, who said one of my favorite quotes, I love deadlines. I love that whizzing sound they make as they pass by. There's often a lot of things like that to commitments.
I think it was Scott Adams.
Well, the thing is, either one of them could have said it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Both men had very interesting ways of looking at the world.
They were on the same deviant wavelength that was totally different from each other.
Yeah, I want to be in Adams now, I think. Immediately, right now, this moment. No, I'm not. I'm just Mark, the uncaffeinated one.
Well, one of them is a particle and the other is a wave.
Oh, so they can both exist in the same place at the same time?
Exactly.
It's like the first experiment that Schrodinger tried, Schrodinger's dog, but it failed because the dog kept barking.
I hadn't heard that one yet. Thank you.
I just made it up. So.
Oh, good. Excellent. I'm going to steal it.
Congratulations. I hope you get some mileage out of it. Trust me.
All right. That's good. That's excellent. All right.
I don't envy you the editing of this. I really don't.
Well, I obviously I don't think I'm going to be able to. We started, I guess, about 7:15 or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I can't actually put all of this into one Skype chat, so some of it's going to have to go by the wayside, and
trim it down to like 5 minutes. Like, hi. Well, it's nice talking to you.
Well, thank you for listening, folks. Tune in next time. Some of it's going to have to go by the wayside, and I hate doing that because I can never pick out what actually
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. Every good conversation has things you forgot, but it was still a good conversation.
It was indeed. And we're going to do another one where we get into a whole bunch of this other stuff, or we'll plan to get into a whole bunch of this other stuff and find that we hadn't at all, but ended up in
somewhere else.
In West Caldwell.
At least hopefully the wallpaper is fresh and the trees are green.
I thank you very, very much for hooking
up today. I'm a fan of surrealness. I'm sorry. I can't go straight to anything. Sorry. And I interrupted you, which is so rude.
Not at all. Don't worry about it. It's folks, this has been Skype Chat 6, and we've been talking to the Incaffeinated One.
And it's been a blast.
It has indeed, and I thank you very much. And the next time we get together and do this, you've all been forewarned. You know what to expect. So thank you again, and I hope you have a super rest of the weekend. And I hope everybody goes and checks out The Weird Show, which, once again, we haven't said this often enough, so let's say it one more time, can be reached at
incaffeinated.ca.
Remember that, folks. Or, of course, through the IDDFOS homepage. NCAF1, thank you very much.
And M5, thank you very much.
Most welcome. And you take it easy and have a great rest of the evening.
All right. Good night.
All right. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And so, there we have it. The end of Skype Chat 6. I'd like to thank the Incaffeinated One very much again for joining us for just a terrific talk. Like I said, a whole other hour and a half, we were talking about a bunch of other stuff, and I'd really like to get back on the phone or get back into Skype with NCAF1, host of The Weird Show. Please check it out and just go off on another series of tangents and just have more fun. And hopefully sometime in the not-too-distant future, we'll do just that. So without making the show longer, just from listening to me, I'm going to go ahead and say here we are at the end. We won't be including closing show music in this particular show, so if you have a favorite song, hopefully you placed it just after this in your playlist. If not, go and listen to it. So thank you very much again, NCAF, the Incaffeinated One. Thank you to Zencore for joining the forums. Thank you, Vandamore, for reminding me of Dig. Thanks to James Stubbs for that forum link, the link in the forums to the cool book site. Thank you, Dickie the Stealth Geek, for writing in about episode 46, and we'll, of course, hear your letter in episode 46. Thank you, Reindeer. The Reindeer wrote in and reminded me of something that will be very cool to have for the show, and I'm going to pursue that. I probably forgot something, and if I did, well, you'll hear about it in episode 46, but I'm not going to go any further. So do tune into episode 46. It's going to be a Shakespeare extravaganza with a lot more play acting by me and a little less flailing about wondering what it is I should talk about so far as Shakespeare is concerned. Hopefully, if you've got some input for that, please do send it in. That can only help the program. So I hope you'll join us. And episode 46, of course, also will be the show in which I explain why the podcast is called International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. But until then, I hope everything goes very well for you. And until then, best of days.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.
Thank you. Thank you.